Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise your name tonight, Father. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. We believe that God is with us tonight. We believe he's present. We believe he's here in our midst. Oh, that sweet fragrance of his Holy Spirit, that rose of Sharon, that lily of the valley is in our midst. Oh, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God is in our midst tonight. What a privileged people we are. Oh, what a privileged people we are tonight to know that we can gather where Emmanuel is, where God is. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name tonight, Father. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise you. We surrender our lives to that great one tonight, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, there is none like you. There is none like you, Father. Blessed be your wonderful name, Lord. Oh, there is none like you. Oh, hallelujah. As we change all of our service tonight, and this grace of his Holy Spirit that is building up in our souls right now, meeting our needs, giving us faith, raising us up above this realm of this carnal world, and lifting us up into that realm of the supernatural tonight. Oh, that we can enter in, that we can break through the veil of the flesh and enter right up into his presence, where the veil of God drops around us tonight and we are in his presence. Hallelujah. All that we have need of is in his hands. There is none like him. Oh, you sing with faith from your heart. Hallelujah.
Oh, there is none like you.
Oh, We're so thankful tonight, Father. Standing here with bowed hearts in your great presence, taking into consideration the things which we have experienced, which you have done for us, which no living mortal could have done, no angel could have done, no great man or woman could have done, Father. Even as John saw that there was not a man worthy even to look upon the book, much more to take it into his hands. And he bowed his heart and he began to weep uncontrollably. Oh God, realizing the insufficiency of man, as great as they were in their time, as great as the exploits that they did, oh God, yet where creation stood and man looking for full complete redemption, Lord, they was unable to provide such a thing. But what grace it was that flowed out to him, assuring him, weep not, behold the land of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Oh God, when the hour seems so dark, new hope can arise. A voice, dear God, can speak and give to us assurance and comfort. Cause us to dry our tears and to lift our eyes to another horizon. Then as he looked to see that land, he saw one like a lamb. A lamb that was found worthy, O God, to take that book and to loose its seven seals. Truly, O God, there is none like you tonight. Knowing, dear God, you are still walking in the midst of your church. This great Lamb of God, this all-conquering Lamb, this Redeemer that could have paid the price of man's redemption, this one who by victory won, was able, oh God, to take that book and to loose its seven seals. We thank you tonight, oh God, as we stand here in your house with a heart full of thanksgiving, Lord, and praise. Now it is a blessed privilege we have. Oh God, because of this victory that you won, dear God, we can come right back into this great presence. We can reach forth and take from the tree of life and eat again. We can know that cherubim, Lord, is gathered here around us, oh God, an influence that is not from this world is upon the church tonight. Oh God, a token, a sign that you gave, Lord, that we can look up and lift up our heads and see, oh God, the memorial of that great ensign, the Son of Man coming in the cloud, a great JVH in the skies, a message of shalom, the breaking of a new day. We know that our redemption is much more nigh even tonight as we stand here, Father. How thankful we are for our message. You commanded the light to shine out of darkness, O God, in the beginning. So to this dark, sin-cursed world, in this dark, Laodicean age, we heard a voice and arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And truly it has risen upon us, Lord. It has lightened our path. It has scattered our night away. The joy that we have looked forward to, the present coming of that great light breaking between a dying wall of corruption, a bright new shining day. Breaking between mortal and immortality, O God. Bringing a hope in our hearts and purifies us. Shining, O God, give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Opening up these seven seals and shining upon things that light never shone upon. Show us how to prepare for great translation fate. Blessed be your wonderful name tonight. Lord, when we think of that's the purpose why we can stand here and gather together, it gives value to our gathering. It makes coming to the the rainy night, oh God, seemed like nothing, Father. When we think the presence we are coming into, the purpose we are coming for, the voice that summons us together in this hour. The very one who comes in our midst when we gather. We are thankful for this. All the money in all the banks of the world, all the diamonds and gold in the planet couldn't pay for that, Father. It could only be bought because of your shed blood, dear God. Hallelujah! Pray tonight, Lord. This great grace would flow out in every heart. That we all can know grace. Lord, when the question would be asked, do you know grace? We all could have a testimony and give a witness that we know grace. In that grace we are saved. Through faith, none of the works that any man should boast. It is the very gift of God. Something we couldn't earn. Something that was unmerited, oh God. Freely given to us. By one who looked beyond our faults and saw a need. One who could write pardon upon the book of our life. And throw, God, all those things in the sea of his forgetfulness. Causes us to stand justified like we never did sin. Hallelujah! By a new birth, bring us back where we were before the fall. To live and walk in this faith civilization, this world of perfect faith. You carp into by this great revelation, this word that has opened up to birth us into that place we're positionally born. To be transformed into the species that we are, to bear the fruit, oh God, of this good position that you predestinated us unto, Father. Oh God, in this hour of adoption, when you can come down with a robe of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, take men and women aside and in our presence of angels, seven of them with the great angel of the Lord, the captain of the host, the one who sent them with seven messages, Lord. And we are people who can show forth your victory. We are people in which this plan of redemption will be finished in, Lord. You could say to them, this is her. This is her. Oh God. For every man or woman that could have that experience in their heart, Lord. They can live in that realization. God will lock them away behind the veil. It will not be an up and down life, Father. It will not just be someone just drifting aimlessly through life, hoping to make it. But the one, oh God, who knows that they were with you before the foundation of the world. An express attribute. And you come down to. Oh God, I wonder if you caused to kiss the Son. Wonder if you put the great kiss of salvation. Then, oh God, wonder if you have drawn and give the kisses of the mouth, Father. Oh God, then wonder if you have stood the wedding banner for unmerited predestined grace and give the marriage certificate. Give part of your name. One of those, Lord. And know, dear God, that they are in union with you tonight. Have your blessed way, Father. This is the reality you want to live in. This is the place where you want to walk. This is where we believe, oh God, the seventh seal was opened to bring us and place us. This great capstone of love divine. We could put on this agape law, the bond of perfection this hour. The capstone that caps the permit of our lives. Jesus, we come for that tonight. We come for more of that tonight. We come bowing in your presence. We come, oh God, with thanksgiving and praise. I'm praying, oh God. These things, Lord, will not stay in the pages of the Bible. Will not just be taught in our minds. But be an experience. It'll be a testimony we possess. It'll be a living reality in our hearts, Lord. It'll be the very expression of the life that we live. God, may you grant it tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we ask this, Father, for your glory. Amen. Amen. Praise his mighty name. How many love him tonight? Thankful to be in His presence. So good to know Him and to serve Him. Amen. To know there's none like Him tonight. How many love to talk with Him and talk to Him? Amen. I can read out the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 5 and verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know the will of God tonight? You want to know what is God's will for your life? Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Tell us what to do and tell us what not to do. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. May the Lord bless you as we will never see. I want to take out the end, verse 18, as a thought. I'd like to give it a title and call it Giving Thanks from a Grateful Heart. You know, it's marvelous how the Bible is and how the God who wants to reveal Himself to His church, to His elected children, and who wants to establish a proper and right relationship with them. These are things that we don't know, but these are things that God teaches us. And it is all realized in what Jesus Christ has done for us. God knows what will make us most happy. God knows what standpoint we must see Him from in order to know Him and worship Him. That's why it wasn't sufficient when God created man and put him in Eden for him to worship God. Because man couldn't go too far with that. But God had to bring the fall. And then man had to know what it is to be lost. And then experience salvation. And then come to know the love of God as a redeemer, as a savior. Then man began to see himself in need and find himself in difficulty. And he began to discover his need for God. And how he needs to be dependent upon God to find true happiness. And to understand His way and to know God's way. And until you don't know His way, and His way is death, and His way is unhappiness, and His way is failure, then the best man with the greatest ability is a lost person without God. Man at his best state, the Bible said, is altogether vanity. Man at his best state, when God came to flesh, he said, you must be born again. Marvel not, I say unto you. So God knows what it is, and in his love and his wisdom, his omniscience, he could draw a salvation's plan. And with the love that he had in his heart, that he can reveal to man, and man can experience, then he knows, when a man comes to experience that, truly he can worship God. The prophet say, when you get across on the other side, you come down to that trail, there'll be a log cabin. You'll hear somebody singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the song, that saved a wretch like me. You will say, thank God, but a bill made it. Now, he didn't say to be humble and tell a story, but his grace has brought us, saved us far, and grace will lead us home. And all together, from the beginning to the end, the story is grace. Because Adam didn't do nothing to deserve an Eden. It was given to him freely. Adam didn't deserve nothing to become a son of God in the dominion and likeness of God without power and authority. God got to bring one of us first to be the first man and bring him to be born by sex instead. But God chose to start with him. You know, he's an attribute of God, like all the rest of us who are elected in the book is attributes of God. And so we realize that the same way God chose the Jews to give them the law, he's going to choose the Chinese, he's going to choose the Indians, he's going to choose the Africans, he's going to choose the Syrians, but he chose the Jews to give them the law. That was God's election. Because the purpose of God is an election. That's why he chose Isaac, not Ishmael. That's why he chose Jacob and not Esau. That's why he chose Abraham and not Nahor. That's why he chose Judah and gave him the kingship and not the others. That's why he chose Levi and gave him the priesthood and not the others. They didn't pray for it, they didn't ask for it, they didn't deserve nothing to merit it. But God wanted to reveal something. And it is so easy to miss seeing God, and by miss seeing him is to walk in ignorance of who he is and what he is. And then when you find yourself in circumstance, you will depend upon your ability because you have failed to see this one and know this one who, in your time of difficulty, it would be automatic to rely upon him and call upon him because you know him and what he is and what he can do for you in your situation. But Abraham went down in Egypt looking for help when he had God. And he got in trouble. Because even though he had God and God called him out and God was with him and God had never left him, he didn't at least know God in the way yet as he should know God. And that's why God had to bring demands on his life. Separate from the father. Separate from Lot. Cast out Ishmael. And even try him with his own son Isaac. To bring him into the place. Because before certain things could be done in a man's life, a man must become in a certain condition. And it takes his walking with God and knowing God that brings him in that condition. Because he just can't end up there. It is from faith unto faith is being revealed. Each step is faith, and faith is the victory. And with each revelation, there's a test. And with each test, there's a victory. Because faith is the victory. Until the last victory is won. And the last enemy is put on the feet. But it's a constant battle. It's a constant trial and testing. And the testing is becoming greater and greater and greater until the final testing. And then the battle is over. And the victors wear a crown, as we sing. When the battle is over, you shall wear a crown. Paul, in writing here, is given instruction by the Holy Spirit. And it's not that he didn't have nothing to say and just writing some things, because all scripture is given by inspiration. And these men were moved by the Holy Spirit to write that, because that's why it became the Bible. And he says, rejoice evermore. And that's great. Because worrying, we're going to find out that you're going to get sick. And Jesus keeps telling them, don't be anxious for this. And don't be anxious for that. He's trying to keep them healthy. He's trying to keep them in an atmosphere to get revelation. He's trying to keep them in a place where he says, I'm going to persecute you. Pray for them. Don't plan revenge. You didn't make up the hate. And that will bring a root of bitterness. But by praying for them, you are pushing back that which you will open up yourself to if you don't know that principle, how to keep your subconscious clean. Because you fail to bring that thought into captivity, decisions are making the mind, and the mind is the gate to the soul. And once you get in the soul is the subconscious, and that's where you live. And even though you're trying to think good thoughts, and you are that down in your heart, because you're feeding the black dog is going to jump out every time. So, as you grow in the word, you're like, this is not just a commandment, and this is not just, I'm going to beat down somebody. This is teaching to live by every word. Because death cannot come as long as you live by the word. This is to walk in faith, to walk in victory. And we all want to walk in victory, don't we? That's right. We wrestle with things. And like, how to overcome this? And we don't ask God, Lord, take it away, you know. No, not how to overcome this. Because you wouldn't have said it if I didn't need it. If you ask, I listen to teach me. I'm going to give me a testimony. I'm not going to glorify you. I got no purpose and relevance to my walk with you. It wasn't going to come. But if you permit it to come, it's something that is profitable for me at this stage. Otherwise, it's going to come before. But since it couldn't come when it wanted to come, spring can't come when it wanted to come. Winter can't come when it wanted to come. This season comes when God needed to come. Because it's coming relevant to serve a purpose to life that is on the earth. Some of us come out of some of us come to food can't get right. Food can't get right, man starve. If spring don't come, everything remains dead. You get what I'm saying? So all of this has its purpose and its relevance to us. And so even our spiritual life, which as we walk with God, we are discovering more and more. And we are finding how to live in this power. The power is here. He said, when the Holy Ghost came, all the power came. He said, but you need faith to operate the power. He said, come like you have the bullet. You know, by ballistics, you know what that bullet can do. All the gunpowder is in the bullet. But it need some fire to fire that thing off and charge the powder. And cause it to explode for that bullet to fire off. He said, the car is packed up there full of water. Full of gasoline. It could be water for all you know. If there is not some ignition, some fire there to hit that octane in that gas, that big nice piece of goods will stay right there and don't even move. You polish that car every day. You put nice door skin on the seat, diamond studs on the steering. It ain't going nowhere. You have mechanics, but you have no dynamics. If we have a mess of 7 seals and 7 tunnels and 7 valves and 7 trumpets and all these things, and a church full of people and they're well dressed and we have nice musicians who can play different chords and different instruments, and we have people who can sing in nice notes and blend and harmonize, and we have the Holy Ghost, a corpse dead and bejeweled is still a corpse. Unless life don't come into that, the person can't walk out of the coffin. It takes the power. That's why those nice men, those chosen men, elected men and women, but he sent them in the upper room for what? The fire, the power to strike the thing. Because it couldn't go nowhere if that fire didn't come from heaven and strike that thing. So, when we look and we see how we have come, we see the wisdom of God. And when you see the wisdom of God, you begin to get a door open into the purpose of God. Because God had a purpose, that's why he did what he did the way he did it. And that's why he deals with us differently, because we all have a position, and he's teaching you what is necessary for the position you born for. He's teaching me what is necessary for the position I born for. So don't pay to impersonate me, because nobody can take my position. I can't, and no purpose of me to impersonate you, and envy if you have something, because I can never take a position. But we'll keep up God and keep up the plan of God until we learn these things. Amen? So, giving thanks from a grateful heart is what I'm thinking of. Because thanksgiving, to give thanks to the Lord, that is giving something to God in words which you feel in your heart because of the blessing and the way He has dealt with you, and you recognize His purpose and you see His achievement and you see how great it is and how merciful, how loving, how kind, how wise He is in the way He did something. You get hurt, God get glorified, somebody get assisted. You say, oh God, I was so thinking so selfish, me and myself. And God had me to go through that, because if I didn't go through that, this person who also is going through that would never know. How many times he's sitting in the meeting and says, now you have, sir, you have heart trouble. He said, now how many here have heart trouble? He said, now you felt that, sir, over there. When I told this man that, I felt something moving you because you had the same thing. Is that right? See? He said, now everybody who have heart trouble, rise to your feet. Now here is God mindful. And this man's faith, what God do for this man, it sparked faith in that man's heart. You know, I have the same thing. What are the witnesses of Isaiah testimony, or Jeremiah testimony, or Abraham testimony, or Moses testimony, or Paul testimony? How do we try to live life with the purpose of God tonight? But when you go and read Moses' life, you see how God has chosen a man. You see how by birth, even though a man the jaws of death, but he's born for a purpose and he come by prophecy. He can't die. That God stand there. And you see Jesus come years after in the second Exodus. And knowing Moses said God was a prophet like unto me. You begin now to realize now, if I want to understand more things about Jesus, I ain't written about Jesus. All I have to do is read about Moses, because Moses was showing him. You get what I'm saying? And right there you begin to see now, that's God's wisdom. And look how out of Moses' life and out of Jesus' life I can understand my life. You know what I'm saying? And so you realize now nothing is new under the sun. So He gave you something that you can see where He dealt with somebody on a certain basis. What was His purpose? How it looks strange that He should do it that way. How the person might be battling in the mind for a while. But then when you see God work it out, it wasn't strange after all. So when you go and say, think it not strange considering these things, you realize, wait, this is the same God who do all that. We have seen the patience of Job. We have seen the end of the Lord. So we didn't think it strange when he was in the middle part. And we understand why the family going, and we understand why he lost the house, and we understand why, we are influenced by the voices who saying you sin and sins and bring condemnation. And we have something there. Why? Because we see what he lost come back. And we see God can bring it back, because God give and God take away. And we see the confession of the man, the Lord give and the Lord take away and the Lord restore again. Because here's a man, now that is a statement like a bold faith kind of thing, you know. That is a statement of a man who conscious, I only have it because God gave it to me to begin with. He recognized it was God who gave it to him. And the man said, you know how hard I work for that? And look, it's gone. That can't come back, you know. When people say, and I don't pay the tithes, and I can't do something. No. That can't get blessed. They seal his ears and they work so and they find God unjust, and because they're not in God provided way. And as long as they're not provided way, they're in their way. And the way that seems right to be a man is what? Life. Death. And what is death? Separation from God. Separation from life. Separation from the world. Separation from the peace. Separation from victory. Separation from holiness. Everything that God is, that's separation from that. Everything that life constitutes, that's separation from that. From faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience, that's separation from all that. So then you realize God, in His wisdom, you shall learn to appreciate that now. And then you say, it's better now for me to give God thanks, even the bad times. Because the bad times don't appear to be bad, but it ain't bad. Because all things work together for good. And I'm trying to cultivate some thanksgiving here. And stimulate some thanksgiving. Because this is an unthankful age. People are without natural affection. People are unthankful. The Bible says. People in a kind of gimme syndrome from God. And people don't realize that God things are so short. That's why you can worship and thank Him for it even before you get it. Because you're dealing with one who is impossible to lie. And when you're afraid to thank Him before it, you have a fear in your heart because your heart ain't clear. Because God didn't put that fear in your heart that you can't get. Because God swear. His promises are here and amen. He's the God of the unfailing promise. It's impossible for Him to lie. By two things. He gives an oath of confirmation to show the unchangeableness of His will. That's impossible to lie, and by sworn oath, He had to bring in the past to remain God. So if you have a fear that God can't do it, and that fear paralyzes you, because when you begin to know this God, from the time He says that, He leaves His mouth, it happened. From the time He speaks, it happened. His words are creative. His word can return void. That's why for 712 years, man could say what they want, say the Bible false, it contrary. But wonder when that virgin rise up and Gabriel dropped down and says, Hail Mary. He knew exactly the place, he knew exactly the village, he knew exactly the virgin, everything. And she brought forth the very child. Is that right? God was making it beautiful in His own time. To every purpose, there was a time and season. So whether it take long and whether man said back in the field, everybody agreed if it was really God, it would happen already. It shouldn't take so long if it wasn't God. Does that alter it? Does that devalue it? Does that make God unable to do it? But people's faith, they can't stay there if it's not genuine faith. They get caught up in the current of men and skeptics and superstition and fear, and they get into a spirit of uncertainty. And then through impatience. Why? Because the eyes are no longer on God. The eyes are on all these things. The time element. What man says. How reasonable song. But when you get to the place of, who said that? God. Can He lie? No. Is His word creative? Sure it is. Has He ever said anything and come to pass? Is He able to bring to pass what He says and remain God? Can He lie and still remain God? Then you can't doubt. You gotta praise God. You gotta give God thanks. You get what I'm saying? You have to give Him thanks. You know, when it happens, you gotta praise Him all the time for it. Probably tell the story of that man. Took a ride, a preacher, come back to that place. Had a drought, no rain for a season. But the crops are dying. People are living by the crops. That year, everything seemed so hard and like not gonna get nothing, no rain. The sky's brassy. And he came in there, went to the altar, rolled them sleeves up and lift them bony hands in the sky. And maybe he was thinking about Elijah. The time of famine back in the book of Kings. Amen. He looked at you as one of them real men. Amen. And when he finished, he walked outside and took the saddle off the horse. He didn't want the saddle to get wet, the prophet said. He didn't want the saddle to get wet. He said, I praise God for the time that I pray, God. Didn't Elijah say, I shout and jump out one day after I hear the song of the abundance of rain when you see a cloud that size? First thing he moved, he can rejoice and give thanks. Why? He understood the basis that was an accepted sacrifice. That meant answered prayer. That when you approach God through sacrifice that God accepts, that prayer cannot fail. Because why? That atonement removed the barrier that held back the blessing. Now God accept the sacrifice. That is God's language of saying, I have removed the barrier. If the Father cannot accept the sacrifice, God says, I still accept it. You sacrifice wrong. You know me. I don't accept your repentance. But when the fire come and consume it, that was God vindication and confirmation and acceptance that his word had been met. His requirement had been met. That's when the servant comes and say, I ain't seen nothing. That never moved the prophet. You ain't seen nothing. He said, I ain't trusting your vision. You think I got good on your vision? If you ain't seen nothing, I must get discouraged. Is I talking about God and the sacrifice? You go again 7 times. I pray God open your eyes, boy. And you know what to look for. Amen. My. That's where, when you walk in faith, that's where when you walk in a place with God and you love him. Now if you love him, you must trust him. Sometimes preaching faith and love. Talking to the angel you love for 20 years. I read in the Bible. There's two things, love and faith. And faith works by love. Love produces faith. If you love God, you are having faith in a God who is the very essence of love. And if he loves you and he gives them promises, how would he like you if he really loved you that love? If he spared not his son, Romans 8. If he spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things? Did the son die for some things? Or did the son die to redeem all things? That wasn't the blood of bulls and goats, friends. That was God. That was the true propitiation now. That to bring us back like we never did sin. Bring it. Then, if God be for you, who can be against you? Shall God who justify? Shall the God who sent his son to die to shed his blood come back now and hold back the promise from you? He defeated his own purpose. That's why it's coming to the place, if you are elect and you don't believe like Sarah, I will not believe, I will not believe, I can't believe, I can't believe, I will not believe. God ain't watching you, God watching his word. He said, I don't say it, tell Abraham you shall be a mother, king, what kind of nonsense you're talking about? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? But if God blow that unbelief out of her so far, she can even fight in herself no more. Is that right? She's had a judging faithful. 24 years of unbelief. 28 days before the promise something happened. 28 days before the promise something happened. That's right. Oh, brother, I tell you, she's had a laugh. She throws her arm in the air. She's had a little dance, this little old lady. And when the baby came, after the body was changed, she really rejoiced it. Yes. Amen. But she had a little jig, I'm sure. But a little old granny, Sarah, 90 years old. Because Abraham had his own 99 too. Yes, before the baby came. Is that right? He wrote in the book of Elijah, shall Abraham, who is 99 years old, God do this thing? My goodness, God and Betty love. Drama and suspense. This God and Betty is a great producer and director. This God and Betty Noga magnify himself so great and wait until it looks like the thing almost lost and defeated to come on the scene and turn things around. What kind of God we serve here? Amen. He forever remains the same. How many knows that? He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Forever remains the same. Rejoice, Paul said. Evermore. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, quench not, despise not, prove, hold fast, abstain. Yes, each one of one word, a special word, a key word he's giving you. And he's telling you how to use that word and where to use it. Holy Spirit, give 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 things there. Instructions. Drop it down. After you open up, the Lord himself shall be heaven a shout. And the devil will open like a thief in the night. Then he dropped down in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Put it inside there. Thessalonians is the mystery of the coming, friend. That's the glorification of the church. That's the first epistle he wrote. Why? Because the 7th seal must open first. The other 6 is being revealed on that 7, friends. Because I'm coming to come of the Lord. That was the 7th itself. Oh my. Watch. Watch, friends. But in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's think of Ephesians 5, which means. I've kind of laid this little background here for the, as I tell you Wednesday night, In the end of the service, I didn't have time. I couldn't stay long to explain it. But the time had been gone. And I was telling you, I would like to have the Thanksgiving service December 11th. So I'm kind of speaking some of these things. I feel we are very much unthankful, not intentionally. I feel our culture keeps us back from expressing ourselves and giving thanks as we should. And sometimes we don't know how to glorify God. We have mind battle. We think somebody will think I'm trying to project myself. Somebody, they say, here she go again. She always feels she more spiritual than somebody else. And negative voice, it paralyzes you. And the devil does that to hinder you from glorifying God. And so the real purpose God gave you that for, and to help others, it don't come in, it's suppressed. And the spirit can't get it out. Because the spirit didn't give you it to shut it up in your life and keep it a secret and go to heaven with it in your heart. Spirit, this is how you shine your light before men. Because this is your light. What is your light? The word interpreted in you is light. If a word is manifested to you, you're talking about somebody else's light. You're talking about some light that you're pointing them to that you didn't manifest, that you don't know. You say, boy, even the light come, yes, a prophet needs seven angels and so. You're talking about light in his life. We can walk in that light, sure. But the thing is, we walk in that light and we don't become the same light. Then we don't really have no fellowship. There's no real cleansing there. Because light is the word of God being manifest. When God said, let there be light. And how many know he begins his work of redemption with light? From a dark and chaos earth, what's the first thing God spoke? Let there be light. Could God start to redeem a man without truth? How does he repent? Not lightness coming to show his condition? To show his need for a savior? Light. What brings life? Light brings life. God's work originates in light. That's why this is the light which was from the beginning. That God is light. This is the message you have heard from the beginning, that God is light. And in him there's no darkness. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Yeah, Paul writing the Ephesians again. And you'll see that this is not just, wasn't just some sayings or like a little verse of scripture you're trying to build up and say something from. But also the Old Testament, I'm going to go and read all where David talked about giving thanks unto God and so on. But here I want to kind of show you how they, in bringing forth the gospel in the New Testament, was the message. How many believe that Paul had the message? How many believe that's the same message of the Alpha come back in the last days? How many believe that what you're going to read here is part of Paul's message? That was in the Alpha. How many know that the Alpha was taught to give thanks and instructed to give thanks? And the Alpha was a thanksgiving people. How many know they beat them? And instead of they get fearful and give up and backslide, they glorify God. Instead of give thanks for suffering persecution and get me filled with the Holy Ghost again and went forth with more boldness. Is that right? That's right. Ephesians 5 verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. How many know that angel stand and raise his hand, saying, time shall be no longer. Time is running out for the Gentiles. When that 7 days black out and the Son of Man is put in the outside of the church, how many know that time is running out? When that rock is thrown up in the air and the judgment will start near, how many know time is running out? When that cloud is turned and we see the supreme judge, how many know time is running out? How many know when you come in a cloud in the air, you look up and know your redemption draweth nigh? Redeeming the time. How many know the time has been identified as in the last days? What time is it, sirs? Sirs, is this the sign of the end? Seriously think, when that seventh seal book is open, is when? After the denominational age that run out. Is that right? Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Are the days evil? The God of this evil age is ascending to his throne, friends. Look at what's happened to the world. Satan's Eden. 6,000 years he's been given and deformed God's creation until his Adam and his Eve is blind, wretched, naked, miserable, and don't know it. How many know Adam and Eve was naked in the beginning and didn't know it in God's Eden? How many know Satan in Satan's Eden they're naked and don't know it also? How many know after 6,000 years it's a complete perversion again? The days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise. How many do this hour? There's wise version and foolish versions. what are the oil and when the bridegroom came and went in. Is that right? But understanding what the will of the Lord is. What the will of the Lord is. You should rejoice. You can't rejoice. It's not a clung. It's not prangalang rejoicing. Not a kind of rejoicing. Did we get something to rejoice over? Do we know the marriage of the Lamb is come? Let us be glad and rejoice. The marriage of the Lamb is come. Have we seen the coming of the bridegroom? Did we hear a voice at midnight saying, behold, the bridegroom cometh? Did seven times unveil the bridegroom to us? Has Rebecca been introduced to Isaac by Elias at the evening time? Is she being given the clothes of the word? Is that right? Is that time when the wise virgin went out, redeeming the time at midnight he came? Did he come like Romeo and steal the bride in the night? Rejoice evermore. What does Paul just finish speaking of? The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. 1 Thessalonians 5 follows 1 Thessalonians 4. And he goes on to, that day will come like a thief in the night. And they who are drunk of the night, but we are of the day. We are not of the night. Let us put on the breastplate of what? Faith and love. Faith and love. You quote in Ephesians 6, verse 25, faith and love. All of that coming to faith and love. Two things with the angel, faith and love. Faith in Paul age, love in this age. The foundation stone, the headstone, faith and love. Think. But be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Can we be filled with the Spirit in this hour? Has this message of the coming of the bridegroom loosed the Holy Spirit? Is it the dynamic, the refilling of the church? The dynamic shall be the refilling of the church. Is that right? And the wise virgin rose up and did what? Trimmed the lamps and it filled it with oil. Is that right? They carry the lamps and they carry oil. But the foolish had lamps and no oil. Fill with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in Psalms. Speaking to who? Speaking to who? What? Jesus is teaching how to keep that self-conscious. Paul is further teaching on that same truth. Keeping the inner man in a certain place. In an atmosphere. Sensitive. In worship with God. Where God is on the mind. Where the word is in the heart of the bride. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. Greater works than these shall you do. That's right. The rapture. Have you ever seen the sunrise? Have you ever heard a flower grow? Oh my. Think of it. The feeling in birth and pain to be delivered. Speaking to yourself in them songs. What are them songs saying? And he have his sickle in his hand to pluck up and destroy the works of man. Speaking to yourself in psalms and songs. You try to speak to yourself in reformer songs. That might be good too. If you need some reformation. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Making melody where? Speaking to yourselves and making melody in your heart. Speaking to yourself and making melody in your heart. Speaking to yourself in these songs. Because these songs is given to you for a purpose. These songs is given to you to keep the word in your remembrance. To keep it in an atmosphere. Things that ought to be. What is this strange feeling that I feel? Can't you hear theophany calling? Father, I pray you let the dove lead. There's a message coming forth. Oh my. Hallelujah. It's a challenge to accept when the battle comes. It's a faith to rise into. Speaking to yourself. And remember, I sat in the meetings and I heard the word thunder from the throne of God. Oh my. Hallelujah. And I cry, Rock of Ages, hide me. Separate me from the evils of this life. Cover me with thy robes of purity. Oh my, when I see the evil come in the age, when I see the gross darkness and the buttonless pit blocking all the sunlight. Amen. Almost 60 years after that war, darkness out the age. Son of man rejected. Because why? Locusts come out and darken the sun, block the sunlight out. Why? So the church, the light can strike the church. So the church in darkness, the moon. That's what happens. Eclipse. When that chief locust, king locust, went to Jerusalem. Is that right? While that group is riding with a general, General Bush, General Blair, all these big generals riding. Oh my, the mighty conqueror is also riding. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. And you are keeping yourself in remembrance of these things. I see Satan fall like lightning. Amen. Son of God must not be trodden down. Amen. And the Ancient of Days has come with maturity, experience, and wisdom. And I stood in the ranks of the great army. They were saved to the Most High God. They fought the dragon and they overcame by Michael to a sword. Keeping yourself in remembrance, redeeming the time. And when I see another corner wheat coming down at your stage, and this is the day of redemption. Why? You know it gone on. The ones in the field that was way for coming to the place now. Because you opened the secondfold mystery, the seventh seal. Hallelujah! Glory be to God in the highest. Oh man, a man caught a vision, heard a voice of prophet saying, sail on, and just like Abraham, in search of another land. Speak to yourself. Because you know it, you know what it was given for. You understand it in a certain realm, what it was given for, why it was given. And you have thanks. Because when the hour comes, oh my, hey, I went to the library and find the tape and get back the coat. No, he's going to sing the song. Shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Oh my, like Esther, for perish or perish. Like Samson, just once more, Lord. Like Gideon, amen. Hallelujah! It's easy because why? He makes you sing it to put in your subconscious and anoint yourself with it and remember it. Is that right? Oh my. Giving thanks from a grateful heart. Thanksgiving is the expression of gratitude. Gratitude is what you feel. When you sit and you contemplate what God has done for you. And you say, God, you're so great. I could have died here. And you come down. God, I didn't understand the why you gave me, but now I understand why. God, I didn't understand why I had to go to that trial with this boy and girl, but no, I understand why. Oh my! Why? You begin to see the mystery. He begin to take the seals off of your life and bring you to a further revelation of yourself that you only knew in part. He makes you see face to face. Glory be to God in the highest. And God, what the devil test me with them brothers and them. But Lord Jesus, I see how your Holy Spirit bring that word back so real, oh God. Joseph, amen, the prisoner, Joseph the Savior, Joseph tested and tried before the promise. Amen. Behold, this dream of cometh. Lord, I understand why I had some persecution. Even that is a vindication. Even that is a vindication. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Speaking to yourself and you're singing. Long after the sermon is preached and the song is composed. Why? He take that flower and he crush it. And he anoint you. And he put you out. And that went into you. And you walk in it. And you're worshiping God. And you meet somebody. And you say, but you have a way to walk. You have a way to talk. You have a certain expression in your face. Like you don't belong from here. When it seems like you're about your Father's business. Like you have a higher calling somewhere. Amen. Like you're not from this world. Like you look like one of the aliens from outer space. Oh my. Something about you. Look at the next verse now. Giving thanks always. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why are you speaking to yourself in psalms? Why are you singing a melody in your heart? What is that? You're giving thanks always for all things. Why? Because now you get an understanding of the will of God concerning you. You're not unwise, but your understanding is enlightened. And what does that do? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The man who have that atmosphere, the man who walk in that word, submission has come easy. Love does bring submission, friend. It's love does bring submission. It's love does make you go down and take your brother place. Brotherly kindness to put yourself in your brother and sister place. To feel what they feel. To walk in the moccasins a little bit. Instead of sitting on your high chain, you're still scornful and criticizing. It pick you off, you're still scornful, and it bring you down where they are. And then you start to realize, hey, why God bring me here? I could help them. No, as I see my revelation, I'm going to puff up myself. That was to produce love. When that knowledge become love. If that knowledge remain knowledge, I'll remain puff up. If that knowledge become love, I'll edify them. I'll edify them. I'll deliver them. I'll see Joseph the Savior. I'll say, no. God had you to do that. You thought that. But that was necessarily the plan of God. But you didn't do me nothing. God sent me. So I can't hold no ought against you. Because that revelation filter my thinking and wipe away all my resentment. He washed it away. He gave me a revelation to loose me from the grip of revenge and resentment and vindictiveness. That's right. Oh my. I want to see now. I say, Lord, I can appreciate the trial. I can appreciate the hard time. I can appreciate you have pain in it. Because to get the bread, you have to grind the wheat in the powder and bake it in a hot oven. To get the wine, you have to cut down the bunch with a sickle of steel. Sharpen. And then put in the wine and trample it. And crush it. To become wine. And then after you seal it up. Take it from men. To become useful in the worship of God. It end up doing what? It end up on the table of God. Where did it end up? On the table of God. Where the table of God? Fellowship. Oneness. The peace offering. God and man becoming one. Supping together at the table. What is the element they're feeding on? Bread and wine? That's Christ. His body and blood. But look what you went through. Just said, I appreciate that now. You appreciate that now. And mercy in your heart rejoice over judgment. Because you get blood on your mercy seat. You get blood on your judgment throne, I should say. And your judgment throne becomes a mercy seat. I know you want to pray for somebody. I know you want to defend the weak. I know you want to stand the gap for the other one. You're not joining the critics and adding your voice to the criticism to make the criticism more powerful and sink the person down. No. You separate yourself from the critics and you defend the weak. And you say, which one are you without sin? Cast the first stone. Amen! Oh, man. And then what you do? You become the lamb again. You become the lamb. You become a little lamb. That's right. Was Adam an amateur God? Did Adam take Eve shame so she could get saved? Did Christ become sin and take our shame so we could get saved? Did Adam willfully go, or was Adam deceived? Was he typing Christ? He became a lamb. That's right. He's portraying the lamb. Amateur God, amateur Christ.
Is that amateur redeemer? Is that amateur intercessor? Is that amateur savior? An amateur deliverer? That's right. You know, all Christ is what he is. Christ is the ocean, he's a spoonful. But the same thing. Is that right? Christ is all the world, he's part of the world. Oh. It makes your heart grateful. It makes your heart grateful. Because if Satan has taken the things that God sent to give us to know him, that we'll be able to glorify him and worship him, and he's tried to deform that. And we don't see why that was given. Somebody turn you down. Somebody insult you. Somebody reject you. You're still living in the realm of self-image. And that tarnishes your image. So you want to defend that piece of ground. But you can't redeem if they spit on you. You can't redeem if you'll be wounded for the transgression. You'll be bruised for the iniquity. The bread has to be broken. And the grape has to be crushed. Is that right? What Melchizedek gave Abraham and he delivered his lost fallen brother in the day of Sodom? Bread and wine. Bread and wine. Showing what? What he'll do to every son and daughter of God. Every slave Abraham. Is that what it was? What is the evangelistic service? What is it going to the Caribbean? Is that going after the lost? Is that going hunting your lost fallen brother? Is that to make you a co-worker and give you a part in the plan of redemption? Is it bound to the members of the bride going to finish the work? Giving thanks for all things unto God. Why? Because you know all things work together for good. So you can praise him in the good times and you can praise him in the bad times. And in everything, you can give the King of Kings all the thanks. Instead of your from, give him thanks. Instead of you get bitter, give him thanks. Instead of you complain and murmur, give him thanks. And after giving thanks, after speaking to yourself and giving thanks, first understanding the time, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Then what? Then being filled with the Spirit. You know the time? Is it time to have the Holy Spirit? What's the only thing God is going to recognize in this hour? When I see the blood, when I see the token, then, on that token, look at the man of the Holy Spirit. The token what? Is an atmosphere of love and power around the believer. A world that they live in. Speaking to yourself, giving thanks in your, for all things, making melody in your heart, and in there, submission. Submission. In there, submission. One to another first. And then what? Then the wife submit to the husband. The home and church with Christ. The ministry of Christ in the church. Then you see the harmony. The same harmony. Same harmony. You see it back here again. Is it promised to be here? Same harmony. Colossians 1. Ephesians and Colossians were the prison epistles. This is where the hard things, some of the hard things, this is where part of his gospel that he wasn't able to preach before he died while he's waiting Nero's execution in Rome. His prison epistles, he was writing these things for the church. Ephesians is the body, Colossians is the head. Colossians revealed preeminence, Christ the head. Ephesians revealed the body. Every man dealt a measure. Whole body fitly joined, compacted. That's the head and the body, the union. Watch how these mysteries are. Colossians 1. Verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praying always for you. He's talking to the Colossian church. He said, now watch here now. Look how thanksgiving now is not just to God now, but for one another. You start to see the value of the body. You start to recognize the mercy and the grace of God in saving others. You start to see the ones who was unlovable, Christ loved them and got them. You see where you went for some? How many people get inspired with the testimony about that woman with that boy in that bed with syphilis dying? And that woman prayed. And you say the story ends there. Is a few months after I was traveling through on the train. I step off the train to get some hamburgers. He said, this boy, I say, Pastor Brown, do you remember me? He said, I don't think so. He said, remember that time? There's an old mommy is praying there, and you came down, Pastor? He said, you are that fella? He said, Pastor, I ain't only healed, but I'm saved too. When we hear that today, it thrills our heart. Just even the way he tells it, he relives it. How he's coming down. He left the briefcase in the hotel room. He's coming the hat on the side of the head. And he's walking down in the old brown suit. And then all of a sudden he gets a song. He's making a melody in his heart. How many remember what song he was singing? One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. He knew he was one of them. And they were gathered in the upper chamber. They were all in one accord. And he's coming down singing that song. And he said, my, and then he says, hey, I'm getting past my time for my plane here. And the voice said, keep on walking. And he's going, keep on walking. And here's a woman get up there since 4 o'clock in the morning. It's about 9, 10 in the morning now. And her back is there soaking wet from dew to perspiration. But she's not moving because she prayed. And she knew when she prayed too. She broke through the hindrances of her faith. She knew that prayer got home. It hit the throne like David's stone. It was that slingshot went straight to his target. That prayer was zeroed. She knows something. She felt on the inside. There's answer to this coming. And I'm on the expectation of waiting for the answer. Like Elijah was. What the kind of faith? That woman had that same kind of faith like Elijah had. She's waiting, watching and praying, looking above. And he's coming. He's getting ready for what? A miracle. But look where he's walking, making a melody. What are you thinking about? The Pentecostal power in the Alpha Bride. Amen. And he's singing that song coming along. Oh man. And there's a pole at the end. And two omnipotents was getting ready to meet. And a boy gripped in darkness and in debt. A soul that was drifting out on the restless sea. Die, huh? Mama, die, huh? And he's out there groaning. But seeing that he's getting ready to cross into that next land of the regions of the lost. Oh, my. And Satan trying to get that boat to row fast. But here is a prayer going out. Here is a prophet coming down. Amen. Here's God's people. And yet God has a man of atmosphere. Getting ready for the supernatural. God making a miracle. And all these things were done that it might be fulfilled. To answer the prayer of that faithful saint who went on her knees and prayed not amiss but according to the scriptures. Because she saw herself like the Shunammite woman. And she plugged back into her personal experience in her life. A scripture that made real behind the Bible. Glory be to God. And she said, he said, I'm your Shunammite woman. Where is your Elijah? Where is the spirit of Elijah? Where is this thing going to come from, Lord? I don't know where it's going to come from. I can't see the other half, but I got half. I had a Shunammite part. Amen. I got half of the promise. Where's the other part? The dead baby had to come back to life. And there's a baby laying there. I'm 2/3. I had a woman. I had a dead baby there. Where's the Elijah coming? Amen. Something was fixing to happen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't want to be a murmurer. I don't want to be a complainer. I don't want to be a backbiter. I don't want to get with the critics. I don't want to be sitting on the bench with the scornful. No, sir. I want to be one that prays God. I want to create an atmosphere that other people can come into my atmosphere. And God can blast away all the criticism and all the fear. I want to walk in a place, brother, where sin can't come in this world. Amen. Where the atmosphere of perfect love and perfect faith. And I believe that that is possible. How many believe that is possible? How many believe seven thunders, holy fire, burn up all the politics in your atmosphere. Burn up every demon in your atmosphere. But make every little cactus that's sticking. That only mean you have no water. That only mean you're dry and parched and coil up tight. Because you lack the Holy Ghost and fire. And you lack the living water. Amen. You are no point. The only point you have is pointed to stick. Amen. That's the only point. Point to stick other people. All you can do is stick. But until you get a leaf, you can give somebody shade. Until you change your picker into a leaf, you can give somebody shade. Then your criticism gone. You can't stick no more. You can shade now. You can protect from the heat. Amen. You can bring someone to rest under your branches now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Oh my. Paul is saying, I know what he said. We give thanks to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since we heard of your faith in Christ. He didn't get jealous. They said, I give thanks. They said, them saints growing. I tell you, faith they really sister do. And they only say, stand up for the word. And if you know, the old denominational minister come back. They tell you, I know a small thing. Where is that? Let me hear the dead raised. Where is that? Critics are strong and talk so. And they cast the dead raised out of that denominationalism. And they pour the grave, can't take it back to the grave. They can't see the prison officers and them who had the stone shut up trying to put the living back in the tomb, and they can't get it back in the tomb. You get what I'm saying? He said, we heard of your faith, and we shall give God thanks. Have we heard of the faith in Tobago and Grenada and St. Vincent? Do we give thanks to God? Because when we knew them a couple of years ago, they were dead. When we met them, we didn't meet them living. We went down in the graveyard and we called them out of the graveyard. And the things that God has done for us. Sometimes we just identify with the book of Acts. Sometimes we just identify with our power. Sometimes we just identify with the true church. But we don't give God thanks. Father, look what we were. And look what you could do. Look at the kind of work you could do. A work of life. And a work of redemption. And a work to bring somebody in a relationship. And a work to make somebody come into your kingdom. And to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. And set this one free. Father, now they speak in your name. And they baptize in your name. And Father, they proudly display the blood. The mess of the hour. Lord, and you're going to use sinful rich like us. And a work like that to be done to us. Father, we glorify you. We thank you. We give honor to you. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I want to thank you. Seriously. I don't want to convince you to give thanks to you. I want to remind you. And I want to enlighten you in the thanksgiving. Say thanksgiving to be small. Because if I know you don't have the potential to give thanks, I want to be putting this water upon you to bring up that potential. But you gotta know that potential is there. But I'm saying, I think it's good we come together as a church, as a family, as a body of believers, and we realize, and this one know, I was redeemed by the blood. I was in darkness. This one know, if you know what God delivered me, you ought to be baptized, but you never really know what God delivered me from. Some of you all know, you never hear my testimony and see where God took me from. And he said, I was in church. And when I saw some of them come in, and I see God's Lord bless them, and I realize I sit down hearing the message in the same church all these years, not seeing. And when they started talking about what they see inside the same church, it made me go back to God and beat my head on the rock and let the cross fall off my eyes. And then I started to see what I was blind from all the years. And I started to realize there was so much right in my midst that I couldn't see. It takes somebody from the outside coming in the 11th hour, getting the same penny, and then wait to wake me up and provoke me. That was my whisper. I went and dig back up Saul. I went and dig back up Jonathan. And I thought I'd fix thing that was not fixed. I thought I'd fix it good. Amen! Because some little ones coming after provoke me. They provoke me. Remember I tell you when them brothers, God let them go to Grenada before us, cross the sea in the boat? I say, provoke me. I feel a jealousy. God like that. Two are we trying to run to get our affected brothers and sisters. Each one trying to get there quick. Because we know they need help. You get what I'm saying? We understand what I'm saying? Who brought that to a woman? God never see you like this for sake. Wasn't it bad that God had to get reasons to feed Elijah? You know what that show? That didn't show God to do miracles, you know. That show God couldn't find a man to give him nothing. That after God took him out of Israel and came in the land of the Gentile, and had a Gentile woman to feed him, when he owned people all Israel, but I reject him. And Jezebel came to kill him. So God now takes some bird to feed him. When he can get a man and woman who can recognize him as God's servant with the word. The man who removed the plague from the land. They try to blame him and say, you cause all this trouble in Israel. He had to tell him. He said, I caused trouble in Israel. He said, you and that woman you have in the White House?
Amen.
That woman Jezebel spoke for all trouble inside of here. He said, she ran amok in the place. If you're going to control a woman in something else, but look what she carried, she having a thumb. Brother. See, sometimes you read the scripture one way because you're not really in the spirit to see it the way you ought to see it. To be a miracle about God and so on and so on. Supernatural. No, God couldn't find a man to do it. Even Elisha tried to. Jehoram, Ahab's son, won't he bad? Because you see, it dropped down from father and son, you know. Because Elisha said, my father, child of Israel. But now he's son of the gospel. And then this one son comes down with the same political spirit to fight this one because his mother and father were fighting his father, and now they're fighting this one son too. Because two vines coming down, the hate keep going. Brother, he had a woman. He find a Gentile woman too. Simon says, but he's a good man of God. The reason for this man. Is that right? Friends, get deep into it. But his own people, you know what they're doing? They're telling the children, bald head, and just mocking him and ridiculing him. But God had a Gentile woman to come and help him too. Didn't Jesus say that the prophet was on his own country? And didn't Jesus quote Elisha? And did he quote the widow of Zarephath? That's right. And that woman gave thanks. That man preached a message and lined me up. She said, at first she was resisting me. But he gets still and say, you beg me a cake first. Ooh. But that Gentile preacher is with the preacher. If she thought that he was going to kind of compromise like the Gentile man with the Baal worship and all kind of outside there. But she believed in the God of Israel. So when she come under that voice and she gets shocked, brother, the thunder in the voice of the prophet, he said, brother, she lined up quick. And then she said, I give thanks. She said, oh God, this man saw something in me I couldn't see myself. I said, I'm going to die. But this man saw faith inside of me that I didn't even know I had that kind of faith. And this man put a message and shake me to my foundation. But I dared to believe. I dared to believe. Can you dare to believe tonight? Are you willing to dare to believe tonight? You see, sometimes you see the miracle you want to do and the third pull in one house and it tight knives. But you see where it takes to get her moving in there? That's the part that's read over fast. But that was the key to getting her there. Because faith has come by the word and then the works is faith expressed. But you had no works, you had no faith. You had no faith, you had no word preached to her. Because she had to believe in who God sent. Is that right? Oh, brother, I tell you. I want to go a little more. Is it okay? Is it okay?
Yeah.
I find I'm getting to give God thanks good yet. When I'm done here, I want to really feel our heart. Yeah, God deserves Semua thanksgiving. We want to pray, pray, pray. We want to give thanks. Also. We want to give thanks for answered prayer before we go and pray for more things again. Is that right? In other words, we want to show some gratitude. We want to show some gratitude. What is thanksgiving? Gratitude being expressed. What is gratitude? Heartfelt. That you really feel grateful. You see, how did it come to that awakening and realization? You see, contemplate what it is you actually went through. You see, look over the situation. You see, say, you know, if I didn't get that morning, take that bus, that wouldn't happen. I meet that person in that bus. You know, I just had to be. I know I missed my ride. And I was so concerned I missed my ride. And I take the bus. And I'm feeling so bad because I'm going in a nice air conditioned car all the time. And know how to go in this bus, this maxi, and all kinds of different things. And tout. Want to push me at the side seat. But I know I can't afford to go in that morning. And as I see that, I stop and I say, hey. Look where God had to put me to get this. Because if I had my way, I'd have never come here. And God showed me where you have to be in His provided way and His provided place to get the things He provides for you. He said, go at the brook Cherith. It means piercing and cutting. He said, I'll feed you there. Then He said, go at Zarephath. It means place of refining and purifying metals. He said, go there. So everyone in place has a certain experience for it. So the things of God, He give it, yes, but that way you come into it. And that is for what? Not just you to get your need met, but start to see this God, what He revealing to you when He give the condition He has given. And the attitude and the condition you need to be in to receive. And somebody put you in the low place, then to get that. He didn't give it to you while you're in the high place. He gave it when He bring you down the low place. Because He's teaching you humility first. That's what you needed, then this will come. And when you examine that, you start to understand, you start to read the book of your own life now. You get that now? You start to read the unwritten part, you don't read in Sarah and Ruth. You see how Mary had an unwritten part, you couldn't read in Isaiah? From the conception to the birth? You start to read the unwritten part by experience. The supernatural element. That can't come by intellectual learning. It comes by the fiery trial where you write it in your heart, in your mind. And you say, God, you're wise. Lord, you're so wise. And then you go out one day and say, I would like to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I have a little testimony. And you're not ashamed now to say because He put you on the low place. If you, after He do that for you, you still want to feel, I can't tell nobody got to put me down in their field. Maybe I'd see my life, I was proud. Sure. If God, you see, the thing is, when God see a molecule of pride, your neighbor can't see it, you know. So all the time, this is a great, great person. This is a holy man. This is a man full of love. But we have molecules of resentment, atoms, a fear. We have a little degree of a spirit of competitiveness. But he never seen all that. But God seeing the little level in the lump. And they never see that yesterday when they get test, and the day before they get test, it grows from one molecule to four. And they never can see it because she can only see 25. So when you go in now and say, you know, God will never humble me. You have enough time, so you only have 5 minutes, don't take 10. Just say what God do for you. But now you want to explain all that. But the reason you're trying to explain all that, you want to really end up saying, I have no sin in my life, you know. So don't think because God humbled me, it's because I had pride. Oh God, just say we had it and done. It don't change who you are. It glorifies God. It can take it away from you. That is where self-righteousness has come up. Because there, you're trying to project yourself instead of glorifying God. Now when people live there, that's where God gets robbed from tanks. But the blind man, he come back. The leper come back. Is that right? And they begin to follow him. And then they start to testify. And when the leper meets some lepers, brother, he only looking for a leper in the leper colony. Any leper that dare to believe. He said, let me tell you, you know where I was? You know where he cleansed me from? One touch. Here, I tell you the kind of power in this man. I tell you, he got no scorn. This is the God. I believe with all my heart, the kind of love this man had. Because that I was smelling my worst. I didn't bathe for a month. And that man hugged me. And that man didn't feel nothing. And I could see the compassion. And I felt love and cared for. Something happened. I glorify God. Glorify God. You see, the Holy Ghost is the real one. Not the one we have to make us feel, tell people we're elect. And we're in the message. And we're bride. Not that one. The one that is go out with the stinker and try to help them out the stinkness. The one that is stand up between the two brawlers trying to kill one another. Said, I'm my business. And he says, no, like Moses. Gentlemen. He said, but they criticized Moses and he had to run. Sure, but he didn't stop him from going. God bless all the peacemakers. He bring into an enmity into peace. He's going to break down the middle of a partition. He's going to slay the enmity and bring reconciliation and restore broken fellowship. And he's about the mystery of Christ. So you could give God thanks. And Paul says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the true love which you have to all saints. He said, we hear you love the saints. Now you know people say, nobody didn't pray for me and nobody in this. Maybe they ain't here for your love for all these things yet. And they ain't here for your great faith yet. When they hear of your great faith and your love for the saints, you can feel them prayers. You know why? That is a law in motion to make angel ministering spirits that put burden on people. Pray for sister so-and-so. Pray for brother so-and-so. Pray for this one. And the anointing come in and say, it's a strange thing. I get up early this morning and just on the knees praying for you. He says, that was God, because at that same time, you know what I was going through? And that's when I had the victory. That's when I had the victory. You get what I'm saying? He said, I struggled for weeks for my breakthrough come this morning. At that hour, like you say, he was praying for me. Two put the thousand to flight. One was pinned down by the thousand. But when two link up, what they bind is bound, what they loose is loose. But they had to come in agreement. And I get one who can enter into my situation and agree with me in prayer. And you hear about miracles. Isn't it strange how some people want to hear miracles and supernatural? And what it take to effect that? They want to live there and walk there, and they don't have that consciousness. Because they're living on the surface. But he said, we pray all, we give God thanks, and we pray always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel? That where you get it from, this hope. Because that truth, we preach it to you. Which is common to you, as it is in all the world, and bring it forth fruit, as it doth also in you. Since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. You heard the word, and that word unfolded in grace, like you're hearing the word tonight. And unfold into your son of thanksgiving and worship and praise and where to walk with God to see certain things move like you hear tonight. The word of grace has been brought to you. And the faith come by what? Hearing the word. Because opening a vision, giving examples in the Bible. Elijah, the Shunammite woman, the widow of Zarephath, you know, Abraham, it gives the picture, the prophet going down. As you also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. We come in at the apostles and preach to you. Then you are your minister among you. Preaching when we're not there. Epaphras, faithful minister to you. Keeping you under the same inspiration. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. You see what when the ministers get together, what they talk about? You see when the ministers get together, what do they talk about? Is your angelic beings that associate together, what they talk about? They say, boy, if you know the love, them saints, and if you know the hope and how their faith growing, and if you see the way they're lining up and they're embracing this message and they're learning to mix the word, and if you see the spirit of prayer that coming among them, and if you see the dressing change, and if you see the attitude to each other in service, and we heard some things where a brother, but I was so led to go down and tie down some groceries by this sister, and just exactly what they needed. Grace to help in time of it. Seasonable help. Just what they needed. And they started to realize, look what is happening among the believers. He said, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Since the day we heard it. Because we can't pray for you before that you grow in this and you become a great fruitful tree that others could feed upon you until we know you receive the word. And the word shall bring forth fruit in you. And we shall see how God's purpose is beginning to unfold and how God led us with that word to you. Because God wanted to start a work there because God had others that is to be brought when you all start to get strong and the powers that arise among you, it will bring the others to your in the camp. But God will light the lamp and put it on the lampstand. Look how they're teaching this. And to desire. But look how they had that for the people that carried the gospel to. Look at the heart of the church. You catching that? It can't just be, the saints there, geographic, and the saints there. No. When we know, we had prayer, and we say, we were instructed from the nest, and we went up in the campaign, and everybody had their place and their role, and we work as a team, and we see what God did, and we went back and see all the brethren fear, and we begin to cultivate and mold, and instruct, and set in order the things that are wanting, and the churches begin to prosper. And we came back and we reviewed to the church what happened and how this is taking place. And the church is seeing it and the church is hearing. And when the church is hearing and they begin to identify the different ones that God starts with and the new ones that are coming in and the ones that is interested and is being drawn towards the same word. And we said, remember that one in prayer and remember this one here. Those things we take it in because this is what we are as a body of people. He keeps saying, we the body. That was a praise in that church and thanksgiving. Why? Because fruit was coming forth. You know why? That proved they wasn't barren. That proved that they were fertile. And that proved that they had life because they could beget others like themselves. And that proved there was no intellectual gathering. But if we were sitting here and say, we are great church, and we're going back, coming back, going back, and we just confined to our four walls, and we have no evidence that we can win a soul and bring out and do something and fulfill the apostolic commission and see others raise up of like precious faith, then we'll have an empty boast. Because we have nothing to rejoice in, we only rejoice in ourselves. But when our parents are starting to have children, and they have, look at this nice little boy, look at this one here, look at this little girl here, all kinds of, and then that daddy, the proud daddy, looking at that little girl, and that little girl comes saying, I want to stay by my daddy. And I want to sit by my daddy. And everybody says, boy, she loves her daddy, eh? Look at, boy, I tell you, she's not letting daddy go. And daddy's so proud of her, and daddy is outside, and he's going to bring something nice for her. See? That's life. That's something in the house that is an honor. It shows, look at your family, so beautiful, eh? This is what he was giving thanks for. First, they're giving thanks to God for the great things he's done for redemption, which we're going to see. He said, for this cause also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Because you can't walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing if you don't get this knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. If you get revelation, you have no power to do nothing. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Growing and continue to grow and increase and abound. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in life. We give God thanks because, Lord, look what we were. And you call us out of the plum tree. And you make us a church. And you call people from all over the island today. And now you're going to call from all over the Caribbean, Lord. And Lord, we are simple, humble people. We are not the people of high esteem and high status in the world. We have low estate. Lord, you're coming to be poor and needy. Lord, you're coming to be downhill for us. And look at the confusion our life was in, Lord. We were on skid row. But Lord, look at you take that confusion. Look at it beautiful. Lord, today, look at how people, when they come in here, they admire and they think that maybe this was all glorious from the beginning. And Lord, they only know. And when we get a privilege to sit down, to tell them, Lord, about your greatness, and you're the great potter, and your purpose, and your power, and how you're so great, and how you're so kind, and you reach down and pick up the shattered pieces of a ruined life. And Lord, you're going to put it back together again, and today's a vessel bearing your name, a sanctified and fit for the master use. Lord, doing such good works everywhere. You're giving thanks. You're giving thanks to God. And then people look at you and say, but they love God, eh? But you didn't see when they talk about him, how they get. But you didn't see how they go at great lengths to honor him. And you didn't see how they be mindful and careful that to do everything in his name. And you see how they carry themselves, even though they're by themselves and nobody with them. And they try to represent them as sincere as when the whole crowd there. You ain't see the kind of people they are. I understand all what they're saying, you know. But I want to be like them. Because I see something. I see a little voice. The thunder of God that shakes. Oh God, I tell you, I still want to talk with the smallest one. Like Brother Moffat says. He said, when I met the janitor, I met class. He said, I met them in them, you know, all the officers, I met class. Everybody I met was class. And all the 47 years of my life, I have never seen nothing like this in all my life. Big man in the ministry of health over here. Over here. And when he met the janitor, he said, and I was taking the opportunity to pick out at random to see if this thing real. I ain't around with it, all the big ones was. When I talked to each one, like each one who I talked to, they had a testimony. That's something they could have said on a personal level. When they talk about this God, they talk about him so personal. We don't understand 1% yet of what this is. He knows in my 47 years of my existence on planet Earth, come across something here that's stunning. What we can do if we can really display this token. What is displaying this token? Putting Jesus Christ on exhibition. Lifting up high where he's not hidden. Where he's not overshadowed. Where there's nothing that blinds him from the view of the people. They see I, me, you, we, them. And they see him shining out. of mortals. They see the humanity is nothing. Some of the humanity poor, some uneducated, some not even dressed in the finest of clothing. Some of them speak the grammar so bad. But I see him so exhibited. I see the grace. The man who is ignorant and unlearned, who is the fisherman, is the man who talks about, and if these abound in you, you shall never be barren or unfruitful, and you shall never fall. And add to your faith, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and grace, and brotherly kindness. The man who's ignorant and learned. The man who could talk proper. The man who could dress proper. The man who was unrefined in the world things. But the man who is talking about partakers of the divine nature. Isn't it how wonderful our God is doing it? Shine the light to the air. Oh, my brother, think of what he can do with you. But I'm sure it ain't have a personal building that might have a lower educational standard than Peter. I'm sure everybody here would surpass him with what he had back there. Think of it. Prophecy, if you write the name, you can even read his own name. Think of it. My. You love him? Oh, my. Quick, let me just read a little part in Colossians 3. I'll stop here. Thanksgiving. Gratitude, you feel it in the heart. You go back over your life. You look back how you travel the road. You say, had it been not for the grace of God, I'll be a quitter. When I see that gun block in my hand that day, I know that the mercy of God is standing here. When I see I tried to electrocute myself and I couldn't face my trials and I was weak and he wouldn't let me kill myself. When you try to blow my brains over that gun, today you know when I understand people from around the world love me and people come in and spending, traveling thousands of miles, spend a week in a hotel room for a half hour interview. Big people, all kind of people have jet, they want to fly me here, they go and pray for dead baby and everything else. They have such confidence in me. If God didn't jam that gun, when I tried to kill them six boys, if my father didn't put a slap on me, when I tried to, after my dog got poisoned, I went to shoot the police officer. But today, now, I look back at that, I see how foolish I was. But I thank God, he looked beyond my faults. I thank God that he spared my life. I thank God that when I tried to, like Elijah, kill myself, that's a dead, he had a greater purpose for me. And look what he could use me to do. And look how he honored me. And he came down and took out his picture with me. Oh my. He said, when the mayor said, Brother Abraham, go to your window, and I passed by my window and I saw all the natives, tens of thousands, coming down singing Only Believe in that language there, out in South Africa. He said, tribes are fighting and now they're hugging each other. When I see that dust and that cloud storm, that dust storm, that cloud of dust after they break them idols, took the thousand blanket natives, and then a woman come in, clothed that afternoon service. Yeah, who come in naked in the morning when the Holy Ghost come down, they went and pour on clothes and come back and they break the idols and accept Jesus Christ. Oh, I said, God, Lord, let me do something for you quick. And when I think that I was so tired and I was wrapped in the job, I said, Lord, I want to do something for you. He said, would you like this to be on the curtain at time? And he take me there. I said, oh, friends, I don't know why. God, he said, you are so grateful. The gratitude. He said, you have to think, I stood up there criticizing the woman, criticizing the policeman, criticizing them teenagers and them there. And then God showed me the blood and the bumper. And I realized, oh God, look at the leaves, some of your children in sin there. And yet your love move in such a way, you condemn me, make me see myself righteousness. And I went down in the middle and kneeled down with them and get one of your sheep. And look where I had to go to get that sheep. Look where that sheep was. When I meet you, she had blue hair. She had red eyelashes. She had a little bitty short. And I was condemning her, but I never knew the story. And when she said, Brother Branham, after my husband died, I couldn't stand the pressure. I used to be a Sunday school teacher. So many times I tried to come back to God. I was so weak and the church wouldn't help me and everything else. And I failed God. And look what happened today. But you think I'm happy here? I ain't happy here. He said, "Oh, sister," he said, "God condemned me because I was condemning you. Look where it takes to get some friends. Not everyone just come in, you sit down and take the Bible and you explain this to them and they say, boy, you deep there. Ooh, I never heard this in my life. Wow, wee. Look where you had to go to get some friends. Look when you can get book. Look what get book. Are we learning? Not leaning on our own understanding, but trusting in the Lord. Learning to lean on Jesus. And what? Gaining more power than we ever dream. Let's have this Thanksgiving service in the church. Let us, as a body of people, as the hour goes closer and the demands get greater, and the last should be brought, let's realize, as we grow in this knowledge and understanding, that it's going to take divine love. It's going to take divine supernatural atmosphere. It's going to take reaching down. It's going to take us, maybe on the cross, spit on, revile on. And we can't lose our focus and try to fight back the critics and the revilers. We have to look and see the sheep that cry out for salvation. To get the sheep, but the objective is to get him, not to try to defend ourselves and demonstrate some power for this bunch of critics and agnostics and these things, but to get these little ones here. You get me? Not to lose your focus. Friends, let's walk with God, have us to walk for. Let's pay the price to walk there. Let's realize that a kinsman has to pay a price to redeem his brethren. You have to be willing, you have to be able, and you have to be related. We might be related, and we might be able, but are we willing? We have to be willing. That man said, me, he was able, he was related, which I ain't one of my inheritance, not a bunch of critics, not a bunch of devils, not me. Barbite. Incestuous thing. God can save that. Like the grand, God say, I ain't going to save it alone. I'll make it my grandmother. Amen. I ain't save it alone. I'll make it my grandmother. Yes, sir. You think God is different? Why does he do it so? They keep teaching us. We want to learn. Don't just learn through book, friends. Learn by experience also. Learn by experience also. And many times, the things you go through is to help you understand what you're reading right. Because when you read it wrong, you need that kind of experience to see it right. And to reach certain part with certain feeling. And you can't manufacture that feeling. That feeling has come through pain and suffering many times. So when you read that, you're in the spirit of the composer. Because he prayed out a suffering part. He prayed out a kinsman redeeming part. He prayed out identifying yourself, putting yourself in the person's place. The high priest, the feeling infirmity. And unless you're in that spirit, you're giving the music a different flavor. And you're bringing out the part of the essence of the music. Because you're not in, to get in that spirit, it takes some breaking in the life. Colossians 3 closes. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Look what it took Joseph to say, friends. You saw what it took Joseph to say? Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, you have a quarrel against someone, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. It's a great thing to say. One of my hardest things to do was to forgive. When you can stop and if that is a problem, and say, but God, give me power. I had power to talk. I had power to testify. But I had power to condemn people and convict people. But I saw a place I was powerless. And I prayed for power. The power I pray for, the power to lead on my life. But Jesus said, I have power to lead up my life and power to raise it up. People have tried to get power to raise up a life and didn't get power to lead on their life yet. It's power to lead on first before you get power to raise up, friends. The way to get power to raise up, you got to get power to lead on. Because you want to lead on yourself to raise up something. And above all these things, put on agape. That's what it means. Put on agape. Not filio. Not put on filio. Put on agape. Which is the bond of perfection or perfectness. Same thing. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To the which also you are called in one body. And be you thankful. And be you thankful. You show deep thankfulness. Where he is bringing this up? Because you see, the gift thanks is giving something to God in words, but that word have to come out of a feeling in your heart. It can be, in other words, you're grateful. If you tell somebody, I'm really grateful to you, no. I will ever remain indebted to you. Because where I was, and when you came to me, I could not come to you. But you came to me. And you took me out from where I was. And you gave me a new lease on life. And because of that, I could never forget you. You left a mark in me. Did Jesus meet you in a place where you can get yourself out from? Did Jesus' love leave a mark on you? Does when you hear about the love of God, you feel to sing and worship God? Does when you hear somebody about salvation, these things, as all of a sudden Paul says, I'm least of the apostles. Few years pass, he said, I'm least of all saints. Few years pass, he said, I'm chief of the sinners. He was becoming more sinful. His revelation about grace was becoming greater all the time. As he kept growing his understanding and this knowledge of God's will, what he couldn't see when he was saying, least of the apostles, because he ain't getting that real depth yet. He doesn't understand the magnitude of his sin yet. Because he still said, I never drink, I never smoke, I never commit adultery, I blameless according to the law. Hebrews, Pharisees. I live a pretty good life. The only thing I have the revelation. I think God gave me the revelation. God had the knowledge, but I get the revelation. I connect it right. See? Oh, God have mercy. He said, I was a murderer. Did I consent it? I cause it. I hold a closed state. And I stand as the judge. And I give me executioner his authority to carry up the sentence. And I stand there with him. Because it was me going to get the papers, it was me getting the map all where the churches are, it was me getting the men, it was me putting the men in that kind of that frame of mind to go and lock them up and chain them and drag them and break that thing once more. It was me. He said, I was the whole mastermind behind the thing. I was the murderer. That's why he's willing to give his life in the end. He said, prophecy after prophecy, don't go up. He said, don't go and break my hand. Prophecy, you know what it was? That debtor Steve never left him. He saw a man with love, like Jesus, fatherly not this sin against the charge. Stone him. And while he was so full of hate, this man was so full of love. The Bible says the man's face shined like an angel, and they couldn't resist him by the wisdom that he spake. And he sees heavens open, and Jesus standing there. He said, Jesus standing there. What Jesus is that? Jesus. When he meet the pillar of fire, who art thou? He said, Jesus. The one Stephen saw standing there, Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Then he started writing about the love of God. He started writing about forbearing. He started writing about patience. He started writing about charity. He started writing about all these things. He said, I come down. He said, I get beaten for the gospel. He said, I get in prison for the gospel. He said, I get stripes. He said, I suffer things for the gospel. He beat himself black and blue, he says. Lest I be a castaway. I don't want to run in vain. I want to pray. I want it for a prize. I want it for a prize. I don't want to fight this one that beat the air. They live the life with purpose. You know why? They look back and they see. He said, no. When he started preaching, God chose me. He said, he's a chosen vessel to bear my name. Acts 9:15. He is a chosen vessel to bear my name. The potter had to take him and break him over on the wheel and make him move around. Paul, a Saul to Paul. From a destroyer of the church to a builder of the church. He said, the wise master builder of the foundation. Oh, friends, think about it. He was so grateful. See, because the people fail to meditate, to contemplate, to review, to examine, to look deep into, to look from all sides, their life and what God has done. They live their lives so passing every day, busy, busy, busy. Have the church try to remember one or two things. But God wanted to stay in a place where he said, Father, today. Jesus is sufficient is the evil of the day. He said, no matter all we want to anxious, we're going to eat and we're going to wear and all that. Jesus is sufficient is the evil of the day. Lord, I want to review how I spent the day. What was in the pot? How I talked to that one day. I didn't handle that right. Lord, I get influenced from irritable. I react to this one. We need to find out afterwards. The person didn't come, you know, with the intent that I, my suspicion, make me thought they come with. And I coil and set for them. And I only because I have discernment, I have suspicion. Suspicion is not discernment, you know. And when you look back, you say, Lord, when you still come to me, and Lord, you talk to me. Lord, why do you persist with me? Lord, it's so much opportunity to give me. As the prophet says in proving his word, he said, friends, if the rapture, he said, I say this sincerely, he said, if the rapture will take place today, he said, so much more of you will go before me. He said, because you know why? When I see what is given to me, what God make known to me, and what little I do with what he make known to me, and how I carry myself with it, he said, I realize God will not judge me because I'm the prophet and this thing. God will judge me on the bit too much is given, much is required. He said, many of you are living far closer to him than what I live in and what I should be living in. But you see, that's God's election and call, God's purpose. And that come without you earning that. Like my God choosing. Because when God starts and say, I see so many people getting healed, cancer falling off of people, 50-pound cancer, he pull up the pants, he says, the ankle is 3 months now, I have seen God to heal it. I carry it. He says, the sickness here, 42 years, I carry this. I see dead raise it time. I carried 42 years. Friend, don't think it's a super duper life, friends. It's a life where we come in close to him. We start to know his heart. We start to feel his heartbeat. We start to see his ways. We start to see our ways. We start to see his plan for our life. We start to see our stubbornness and our rebellion. We start to see his persistence with us, continually coming after us. And we're spurring him. Continually going to talk to us. But we're too tired to get up and pray. We're too lazy to take our time to read. And he wants to reveal something to the word for us. And he talks to us through somebody. And we find that person, you can't talk to me. I ain't messing along. You can't talk to me. And that is he trying to tell us something too. And by the time we get into things, we're trying to get a quick response. And then you have to come and say, I tried to get you here. I tried to show you over here. I send this one to talk to you here. Because I know this is coming. But you see, you want me to tell you everything so you can go and walk into it without faith. But I want you to let the life, my life, have preeminence. But you grieve me many times. You resist me many times. You quench me many times. You despise prophesying many times. Because You have your own plan still. You have your own way still. You have your own determination. Sometimes I say, try and do it by determination. And yet your quoting is not by might or by power. It's not him that will, it's him that run it. Your flesh profited nothing. But yet, you determine, and you're trying to do it by determination. And it's done by surrender and submission. This is where, friends. When we see it, in the making of our hands, say, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for today's lessons. We thank you for today's food you give us. Father, we thank you for the clothes you give us. Father, we thank you that one time we was walking, you give us some little kind of pride. Father, one time we had no clothes, Lord, you give us good clothes. Father, one time we had no place, a roof over our head, Lord, you give us a roof over our head. Father, one time we had fears and doubts and uncertainty, and Father, come and give us peace in our heart and quietness and security. One time we're afraid of that, and we have enemies, and we don't know what they're going to do, and people don't think about us. And Lord, we see how you protect us, and how you watch over us, and how you take care of us. And we see many times, we're going to walk right in the dirt, and we see you stand between us. It makes us different. It makes us different. We walk different. As a church, we don't want to come in as a church direction assembly boy in the power of God, but I've been at the revelation and I tell you, you know, you have a new second cycle, and that is a million, billion, trillion, zillion miles from the truth. No friend, don't push that at all. When you push that, you're perverting people's minds. When you push that, you're messing up the little sheep and the lambs. When you push that, you're misrepresenting the picture. It's not about us, friends. It's not about we. If God don't choose to use us, we can't do nothing. And we try to be used of God without God using us, we'll fail. Moses tried to deliver a man by might, and nothing could happen. But when God sent him, when he couldn't do it, and God was doing it now, God drummed the whole army. Isn't that right? The people dance and sing, and they play tambourine, and they're happy, and Moses singing the spirit, and Miriam prophesy. When Moses killed Egyptian, he ran for his life. No singing, no dancing, no nothing, no nothing. You get what I'm saying? See? That's how it is. That's how it is. Let us be thankful. In everything, give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. When you contemplate, I trust you've been contemplating while I've been speaking. You've been looking at your life. You've been hearing the word coming. Not a condemning word, friends. A word saying, have you considered to be thankful? Many of you talk about pray. But where thanks? Where praise? Where honor and glorify? He said, give God the glory due to his name. He has redeemed me, David said, from the pit. And he said, I sing and honor God. He delivered me from my enemies. And the host came against me and stumbled and fell. And the beginning of God praise. The man, when he got delivered, was walking and leaping and praising God. Is that right? But the glorified God, the leper, came back and bowed down and worshiped and wept. Why? Pulled his soul. Why? He contemplated. And then I get healed, you know. You give him back my life. You put back in society. You restore me as though I never had leprosy. You bring me back now into fellowship. And now respected again. Now people look up to people scorning me. They're coming to me and sitting at my feet now. I love people. It ate my heart. People misunderstood me. But today you're healed and you remove that. Oh God, I'm happy. Think, friends. Think of what he has done for you. Count your blessings tonight. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you to see what God has done. And the little thing you do, God didn't do nothing for me yet. God didn't do nothing for you yet. He allowed you to get no disease today. He allowed you to go insane today. He protect you while you travel on the road today. Tomorrow we read that people die on the road today. Tomorrow we read that people are robbed. Tomorrow we read that people was in prison for different things. Who get influenced in the wrong company. You're going to read that in the paper tomorrow. But it didn't happen to you. And so a lot of them people didn't go looking for it neither. And sometimes you bow your heart by your steering wheel and say, Father, give me traveling mercies and I go up into your house, Lord. Prepare my heart while I go up, Lord. And you try to come in a nice spiritual atmosphere while you come. And you come and get blessed. And I say, look how God answered that simple prayer. I come safe. I went back safe. And children was quiet in the car. Everything was nice. In the church, they didn't misbehave. Everybody sit right there. I was able to hear the word. Oh, it just what I needed at that time. And you realize, with that little prayer, how much more if you can just bow your head and say that. If you just bow your head and say, you're hungry, as hungry can be. Lord, just bless this food, sanctify the Jesus name. And eat it up. And brother, you ain't get no sickness, you ain't get food poison, you ain't get nothing at all. With that little old halfway thing was more rushing for the food than saying the prayer. If that have a little power in it, think of what if you really be sensitive, Father, with all thanks in my heart. You had so many dollars to eat. Father, I'm grateful. Because I know not having money means I have food. If I have merit, money can't digest a spoonful of food right now. Tube getting that liquid down in the mouth because your stomach has much ulcers, you can't eat that thing, and the money going to doctor bills. But Father, I can take this and I eat this green fig sauce and this tasting like, you know, some special mayonnaise or some special dish or something. You know what I'm saying? That's right. And you start to realize the little things. Elijah thanked him. He said a little thing, but he thanked him so big for that little thing. Because remember, God don't come in big things. And you're waiting for the big thing. And you figure the little thing, you need no thanks. But he reveals simplicity and humility. And you're despising the dear small things. And all them small things were so great. Because that is what making the whole difference. And you should be thanking for it. Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, I thank you for that. And my little child come back home safely from school. I'm going to ask, I say, honey, you enjoy some of the school? Oh, she was so happy, daddy. I said, and the morning she went and have your lunch kit. And you're back to go to school. And the lunch kit, you have nothing in it. So special, a little butter and cheese, a little something inside there. But you're happy to go out. Like she have ham, lamb, and jam inside of there. You understand what I'm saying? And you say, Lord, how we can be contented like that. Jesus said, you got a little child. He said, come so. In other words, he said, be grown-ups and understand him, but be children in malice. There are a lot of children things God wants in us. Be like one of these, then you become good and go in the kingdom. When you were a mature man, they mean an understanding and wisdom in handling matters and different things. But there are a lot of things like a child. But I'm not like a little child. You know, you see how you behave? Like a little child. So simple. That's the power of God, baby. The power of God is all over that. I tell you. I just love it. I want to sing and worship a little bit now. That's all right? You feel in your heart that it'd be good. I can preach you all more on this next time before the 11. I'll be, you know, I don't know, but I don't just want to say, let's ask, and then I sit and everybody feel, I ain't ready for that. I think I come into that. And I believe that is something that we need. I believe there's a lot of high-spirited thing among us still that has turned into childishness. And I want God to bring the little childishness. You ever see how two little girls get up and hug each other, and then little boys, and them out after church on Sunday? You see, some of them are so big we don't even notice them little children. I just stand up and watch them. And you ever watch them grow in the family and sing? And you see each one there. They're trying to hold a note and they're trying to do everything and they're trying to do good for Jesus. And you know what I'm saying? When they get criticized, wouldn't they get hurt too? Then, you were single and you're laughing and you're marshmallow when you were singing. I want you to stand by me next time. Hurt your little feelings. You know what happened? 2 minutes after they hug up each other and they go in again. Only big? Tell somebody that? 2 years pass. And you still have a force there. And they tell you day, time, and place when the thing happened that day. When they lock you up in the deep freeze. You're in their dungeon. Potiphar have his Joseph in the dungeon, you know. You know what I'm saying? Potiphar listened to accusation and put his Joseph, he blessing, in a dungeon, you know. He expelled, excommunicated dungeon, you know. He blessing, you know. I tell you, in this Joseph, you'll find yourself in Joseph. You're going to find yourself in Potiphar. You're going to find yourself in Potiphar wives. You're going to find yourself in Joseph brothers. We are all out in Joseph. Because when you have people in your dungeon, who do you think? And you have to punish them. And you put them in a dungeon. You'd Potiphar then, you know. But Joseph had a dungeon, you know. You get what I'm saying? Joseph had a key. He opened prison. He said, I throw the key out of the prison door and ask you if you could come out. So long are you supposed to come out? Is you all lock up on yourself in that prison? Remember when Joseph put him in prison? He put Simeon, but that is just long enough for him to admit and go through a little bit to get repentant, you know. And when Joseph do that, he can be no longer, he said, I am Joseph. He revealed himself because he learned the lesson. But if you still have them in prison, waiting for God to bring them out. Only God can deliver from Potiphar prison, you know. Joseph was open in prison and shot him in prison. But when Potiphar put him in prison, only God can take you out. Let the nations come. Let us relax in the sheet a little bit. Worship the Lord a bit. So you want to have that service, all right? But the service will have to be on this wise. I am thinking of, if we do it as unto the Lord, we would use our outdoor, and it's kind of rainy these days, but we trust in the Lord that we have a good day that day. We have the tents outside the fellowship room, and where you have the weddings and so on. We're outside there, and we'll have, and from tonight, we shall do that. See the deacons, and let your name, with a testimony, with a song, with whatever it is, some experience. And because remember, if we're going to do that, we'll have to have some of the time. And then if we have tried to get as much as we can get in, then we'll have to let everybody at least ahead of time know what they want to say. And then the service is designed to honor God, but to edify the body and to help unify the body. That we can give God thanks to you, and you can give God thanks to us, and then we can all give God thanks for Him and His Son Jesus Christ. What He has done for us. And then we'll have, you know, the thanks offering, the thanksgiving. There was always a feast. The Americans gave thanks, then the thanksgiving season that passed, and they landed safely on Plymouth Rock, and they come to a new found land. They were in search of a new land to have freedom of religion. They found that. And then they see some wild turkeys, I guess, maybe that time. Library shot for a meal, and they had for a meal. And so ever since that, since 1776, when they come on that day, they cook turkey to remember that. And I didn't want to go into the Christmas holiday time for it. Because I want you to have your own time, whatever way you just do. I don't want to say, but I've been having a Christmas suit. Not trying to take nothing. But I figure up front, because I don't know if we're going to be around or what, if we have to go out. So I know that time will be free, and we had 3 weeks, or close to 3 weeks, from Wednesday when I mentioned it, to the 11th, from Wednesday to the 24th, and that'll be 6 and 11, 17 days. That'll be enough time for us to do that. And instead of we put on 10 people to work, to do all the cooking, I feel that if we would sit and have a meeting maybe after Sunday service, now is a time when there's a lots of food and lots of things, all the groceries everywhere, you know, and everything. We could plan a proper meal and the people themselves bring it. You understand what I'm saying? And in other words, we sit and we discuss what the menu will be, and then among there, we'll know how much to cater for the body, and then out of the body itself, we do it, and we bring it, and we have it there, and it serves as part of the service that we have when the time comes. And our different one testimonies, we have the meal together, and we honor God, and we honor each other, and we get to see a little more into what Christ has done for each one, and what makes each one valuable. If I don't know what makes my brother and sister valuable, I really wouldn't know to appreciate them or treat them or honor God for them. But when I know God bring them and make them part of the assembly, it's something in them that the assembly needed. And it's some experience God gave them, and it's some decision they went through to say, I want the fellowship here and be in the assembly here. And if they come in, they're part of the body. And if I don't know that, or even feel it's part of the body, and what making me feel that I never even understood the testimony, I don't know the depth of the conviction, I don't know what persecution they go through, if even coming here, then how could I even properly treat them right or honor them? And then, in that way, we'll not know each other after the flesh. And we'll not be looking at that one and say, ah, he doesn't wear good clothes. Ah, he's not educated. Ah, no. We'll be seeing, look how Jesus dealt with that one. I never had that experience. I need that. I needed that what you had. I needed that what she had. But I never had that experience. And that helped me. I could read that in the Bible, but I had somebody among me who had that same experience. And then I believe that our concept and our relationship surely will be influenced into a place where it becomes more meaningful, more unifying. And we'll find the Spirit able to work among us, because there'll be greater appreciation. And then I'll be grateful, and you'll be grateful. And I can say, Father, I thank you for that brother. I thank you for that sister. If you have brothers and sisters, this is, I thank God for them. When I go out in the field, I just need certain ones. And when that work has to fall up, I just need certain ones who can go also. And then here in the church, when we are not here, and there are those who stand here faithfully, then we need them also. And then we need those who is going among the sick and go and help this one, and who is, you know, assist this one, who will look into the affairs of this one. You know, even there, I am seeing God. Look how rich and how valuable. That's why I make them dedication. You hear me pray for people when they come to dedicate. And I pray in a certain way, because why? I know this one here 20 years. I know 20 years they're a loyal servant. I know when they made this stand, I say, oh, God have blessed them. God have honored the decision, how they have walked with God, how they have earned the respect of the saints, how they have proven their faithfulness, how the assembly is richer today spiritually because of their presence and their contribution and their sacrifice. If one of them go, I feel like I lose an arm, because I know what they are to the church. Like how Dorcas and them. They say, Nana, she can't die. Where is she back up? The church needs she. go to church, went to Peter, we're going to get killed. He said, no, we need him. And they pray. Because why? The appreciation got deep. Because they understood the value of those in the body. They wasn't just a statistic and a spectator. They didn't just represent, you know, somebody just coming in to make up numbers or something. And all these things have to move. And we have to get more unified. And I wanted to have, you know, like a, you know, the normal kind of family day we come together and so on. But I just felt led in my heart this way. And that's why I want to have that time, but have it this way. We have a nice formal service. And we come and we sit and we appreciate. And we just do a certain measure that in our workers' meeting. But with the assembly as a family, with a family attitude, with a family feeling, with a body. We understand the body and the parts of the body. You see that body. And if you see somebody that's spare part, or an artificial part, well, that's a real part. That's no artificial part. That's no cosmetic part. That's a real part. And that's what I am desiring to see come out of this. I'm believing that what you put into it, we can get out of it. Sunday after service, we'll ask you to stay back a little bit, and we'll have a little natural talk about this. And in a way, we get it properly arranged, and then from there, we just do that. And we know it's going to be a blessing. Amen? Let's sing another song. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Amen. Let us worship Him. Let the word be on our heart. Giving thanks, my grateful heart. That's why I try to speak a little bit. Let the gratitude that is felt in your heart come forth. Thanksgiving must be vocal. It's active. Gratitude in your heart is passive. You know, you feel it in your heart. But when you express your gratitude, it comes out as thanksgiving. Because you see God's favor to you. And you see God's blessing to you. And that makes you grateful that you have been considered that way, to be shown that kindness, that mercy, and that blessing. Whether it's healing, whether God provide for you, whether God give you friends, whether God give you a job. All the time you're going along, you're feeling shame, embarrassed, you're dependent on people. You have to ask. You can't wear a good dress. You're going to a company, you can't wear a good pants. You know, the same way you're going through, you're trying to stay in the back, you're uncomfortable. People ain't realizing you're going through all that because you don't feel a certain way. You feel complex. And you're asking God, God provide a job for me. God help me. It feels like a miracle, but God provide a job for you. Today you're helping somebody. Today you can buy somebody nice, something nice. Today rather, the complexes have no more. Today people are around you. You ain't running from people, people are around you. You know what I'm saying? I said, I realized that little thing changed your life. That little thing changed your attitude. That little thing is how God came into your life and made Himself real to you at a certain time. That made a difference. When you try to be able to help people, you try to see the joy in their faces. You can buy somebody a good dinner. But I'm saying at that time, I couldn't even, you know, we had any meat skin. We couldn't even get any meat. He said that today I could buy a church this supper. He said one time, he said, people see me coming. They walk on the next side of the road. We are drunk and the fathers are alcoholic and these things. He said today they come from thousands of miles. They get to sit and talk to me for 5 minutes. Think of it, friend. You feel grateful. You know why? God tell David, I take you from the sheepcote. And I give you a great name. Sometimes God takes you from an obscure place. Unknown, unrecognized. Like a diamond. Out there on some riverbed. People pass and traveling, kick it around. Kick it a old stone. That thing end up in the biggest jeweler shop there is. And brother, you have all them big aristocrats coming. And everybody now trying to get it and willing to pay such a price to get a hold of it. At one time, it was out in the ground there like a little stone. Unrecognized, unknown what it was or what kind of value it had. But somebody saw it. Pick it up. We would have cut that diamond and begin to reflect the fire. It began to show its worth. It's what it is, friends. Oh, how I thank Him tonight. I shall run and hide, hard hold my shoes at the high. I was telling somebody that way. St. Lucia, get in the Anglican church and go against the wall like this. To the windshield cardboard, or the two big holes, and feeling shame and mother was born, father was born, they couldn't do a thing. And then I see my mother take her inheritance from her great-grandmother coming down with that's a big gold bracelet they had, and she had a pawn it there in the thing to buy some school books for me. And then I ain't going to school, I'm going to my Queen's Park Oval, I'm walking up in the Rock Gardens, I do all kind of strange thing, I'm going to Strand Cinema and everything else, carrying different clothes to put on so they won't see you in school uniform during school time. And watching that. And so my mother cried tears because nobody had lost it before her. And now she's losing it. But his son, she thought, was going to mean something to her. But God, before her, he let her close her eyes, she saw me get saved. She saw me become a minister. She got baptized and followed what I followed. And the things that she told me, he moved my life in the ministry. That's right, friends. Make me realize, look at, even that, she's going to die with peace in her heart, listening to me, and I'm talking to her and advising her, and she would still take the comfort from me afterwards. What did it, Jesus Christ? Just turn me around. And what the grief and the pain, God wipe her with that and give her joy. When you see people coming from away, who she considers to be big people, and they're coming right in the back of the house, and they're so honored to meet her, because they think that the little ministry I have had blessed them. And so they, as they say, blesses the womb and the pops that give nurse to this boy. But she knew what this boy was. But they meet this boy in the message, you know, preaching and from that standpoint. Thank God, this boy here, these 31 years, haven't forgotten, friends, when he reached on his hand. Waited for him. That's why I don't try to be big me. As small as a child, I can sit down and listen to them. If I'm strong and people think I'm strong as to it, that is to be a defense of the gospel. That is not in my strength to think I'm somebody. That is a defense of it. In other words, I would not see somebody take this gospel and drag it in the dirt. What light God gave me is to help his children. But that, I'm conscious of my littleness. I'm conscious of my insufficiency. Like Isaiah, after he was cleansed, I don't want to be looking at some earthly thing. That's why I look up. I look up to my example. Reflect what is coming from that throne, not what is here, friends. That's why I preach the way I preach, because I detest people in the church sometimes trying to make you something bigger than you are. And then they start to misrepresent what you're doing, because it is their way of trying to influence somebody. But if there's any honor, it must go to Jesus Christ. It must go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are only what we are by the grace of God for us. That's why let's give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to this Holy One, friends. In your heart tonight, in a few next minutes here, let's just worship Him. With a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks. Why? For He has given Jesus Christ. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks for He has given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now, oh, let the weak tonight say, I am strong in Christ Jesus. That is, oh, say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done, friends. What He has done for us, for you and me. And now,
I am strong, let the poor, I am rich, because what the Lord has done for us, give thanks. Oh, let's sing it again, give thanks. And let's have a really grateful heart, a heart full of appreciation. You've been grateful, but now express it in thanksgiving. Lift your voice, put it out. As you said, thank you, Father, thank you so much. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hallelujah.
Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks for He is given. Jesus Christ.
Whatever you do in word and in deed, the Bible says, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Quench not the Spirit. Give thanks from the depth of your heart, from the depth of your soul. Oh, right now, this very moment, I am strong. I can do all things to Christ, who strengthened me with might and power in the inner man tonight. Hallelujah, there's a strength in praising God. There's a power in giving back to Him the due to His name. Come on, sisters. All you lift your voices like Hannah did, like Mary did. When it turned the barrenness into fruit, when she brought forth that man child of Redeemer, that true son that came by trouble. Hallelujah. He gave what no other one could give. He didn't give up the abundance of his possessions. He gave himself unreservedly. Oh, join me, brothers. And now. As though you say, Lord, I give you thanks, Jesus. I never want to be unthankful. Release me from this paralysis that I will always lose my voice, whether it's when I'm traveling, when I'm in the street, when I'm on the job. I can lift my hands and lift my voice and give you thanks, Father. I will not have to quench the Spirit. I'll not be ashamed or embarrassed of you. And Lord, I'll shout it in the rooftop what you have done. The great things you have done in this age, and what you have done in my life, and what you have done in our midst, and what you have done among your people, oh God. Let the world know you're not dead, but you're alive. That you alone, Jesus, in this day of so much denomination and man-made religions and philosophies, that you alone are the truth, dear God. That I'll be your witness. I'll be your ambassador, oh God. Your bright shining light. Everywhere I go, Father, I want the world to know of your great love.
Every day.
And even you who are hurting tonight, you who might be in deep waters tonight, you who might be going through hard trials tonight, you give Him thanks to right now. Every day. And you who have prayed for blessings, you've been waiting with expectation for things God promised you. Why don't you stand and thank Him for it? And behave as though it's already finished. Why don't you confess it? If you believe it in your heart, why don't you confess with your mouth in His presence? As a sign that you know it is impossible for God to lie, that He is a covenant-keeping God. And look beyond the troubles. Look beyond them dark clouds. The sun is shining behind that. Don't you think it's a bunch of angry clouds with only angels' wings beat together? All the time. Oh, sin again in everything. Everything tonight, amen. Rejoice over your foes, your fear, your doubts, your shame. Rejoice over it tonight. It is all defeated in Jesus Christ. You don't be haunted and tormented by those things. Faith is your victory tonight. Praise. There's a power in your praise. What the prison bars for the creaking and pumping in them. You lift your hands and you praise like Paul and Silas. Hallelujah. In the bad times, you're beaten and imprisoned, falsely accused. But you're praising God. And the jail begin to shake. The prison doors begin to open up. In every day. Yeah. Your back is beating, you're bleeding, you're not in prison, but your eyes are turned towards heaven. Amen. And with the chains in your hand, as high as in your hand, you are sitting in that prison. Amen. The power of God is going to shake that place down. Because God comes down when His people is praising Him. Even in the bad times, amen. Hallelujah. Every day we'll give God thanks. Oh my, in the good times, in the good times, I'll praise His name, for He's my God. Amen. His mercy is yours forever. He's working all things together for good tonight. I'll do the same. Over tonight, you are a believer, you are a daughter of God, you have the same life in Christ. There's neither male nor female, it's the Holy Ghost in the children. Hallelujah! Oh, my Ruth had faith, and Hannah had faith, Rachel had faith, Sarah had faith, Mary had faith. Hallelujah! Oh my, in those good times. Hallelujah. But better yet, in the bad times. Everyone mock the right, trouble the Ashim, amen. Now, you promise in your heart now, you seek to listen to conviction now.
victory. He's the strength giver tonight. Oh, he's faithful. He's faithful.
In everything we give him now.
Hallelujah.
In the good time, I'll praise his name. Even in the bad time.
Building, tell him you'll give him the chance. Tell him, Lord, if I've been unthankful in the past, I'll not be unthankful again. I catch what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight, Father. I catch the scriptures, Lord. I feel anointed in my heart. I feel, oh God, I have been unthankful. And look, I want to be more thankful. I want to be more thankful, oh God. Oh, I want to express my gratitude, Father. I want to come back and say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, we love you, we love you. We praise your mighty name. You are a mighty God. You are deserving of all worship and praise. You are your Lord, dear God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When we fail, you forgive us. When we made all mistakes, you corrected us. Lord, you didn't disqualify us. You didn't put us away to help us up. When we were dumb, you lift us up. When we were weak, you strengthen us. When we were hungry, you fed us, oh God. Lord, we'll be more grateful to you tonight. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. You've been so good to us, Lord. More than we deserve, Father. You've blotted our transgressions. You take away all condemnation from us. You give us strength and honor. You clothe us in scarlet, oh God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you tonight. We love you tonight, Father. We love you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, next sister Maria would come and sing. I just came to say thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise him. Just worship. Just stay in the spirit and worship. Amen. We serve a mighty God here tonight. A great God. He's all powerful, friends. There is no God like him tonight. There is none that can compare with him tonight. His name is Jesus. His name is wonderful. His name is so wonderful tonight. Hallelujah! That lovely name. Such a lovely name. That we are named after him tonight. Chosen vessels that bear his name tonight. Hallelujah! We travel, we cross the land and sea. Think about it. He protect us. Amen. We didn't come here to ask for anything. But we just come here to praise him and thank him, friends. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh my, there's a little bit of thanksgiving already. Getting us ready, amen. To rise up in a new realm of thanksgiving and praise and worship, amen. Hallelujah.
Want to say thank you, Lord. Lord, you've answered a million prayers, oh God, that I forgot to thank you for. Lord, I just want to say thank you. For maybe tomorrow I to see when we were bound, Lord. You set us free. We can't forget, Lord, all of the things that you have done. Lord, we travel by land. My Lord, we travel by air. I know you kept us, Lord.
Hallelujah.
You kept us from harm, hurt, and danger.
He took them out. He opened the blind eyes. And people who live in a dark world shut up. Couldn't break through into the world of sight. Amen. He took them out of that world and bring them into a world where they could see. He created eyeballs for one. Amen. He anointed one. a second time. And the man who couldn't hardly see good, seeing all kind of demon, everything else, and manic trees, his eyesight became perfect. Amen. Think of what he can do. Thank God I'm free. I'm free from this world of sin. Washing the blood of Jesus. I mean, like a bird of the prison friend that taken his flight. Like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Like a beggar that found fortune and fame. Is that what the message being given? When you think, have you understood what God has put in your hand through the message that you feel richer than the man who won the $1 million lottery? Yeah. Eh? That you felt poor before you had the seven seals, the abstract title deed with the revelation of your name in the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. No, you can ask anything in his name by virtue of his life inside of you. Think of it. Did you feel shut up, caged up by the devil, his prisoner, living under his oppression, under his deception? But that prison holds you no more. There's an empty cell where you used to be. There's a condemned cell where you used to be. He cut down death row and he took you out like he took Pete out of that prison, friends. He opened that door and let you out. And did you just walk out of that prison and put your hand in your pocket and say, I was a prisoner and Jesus made me free? They said, thank God I'm free! I'm free from this world of sin. Oh, man, rich and power to become rich. Let's sing a little chorus. Thank God I'm free, I'm free. That's a little thank God for tonight. God, I am free. Oh, you thank him for you. Maybe you never did, but thank him for that freedom. Blood of Jesus. Yeah. Oh, you got a hallelujah. Do you have one?
I'm saved, saved, saved by wonderful grace.
I'm so glad tonight that I've come down. He will bring me out and show me the way. Oh, sing it again. God, I'm free.
Free, free, free from this world.
I've busted out of that place, amen. Satan beat me. I've been washed in the blood. Oh, man. I've been raised in heavenly places. I've been born again.
Hallelujah. Saved, saved, saved by wonderful.
Let's try the first one. For a long time I've traveled on a long, lonely road.
Lonely road.
My heart was so heavy, friends. I remember the days. In sin I stumbled. Oh, but one night I heard a tape. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. Oh, I'm so glad tonight. I found out he would bring me out to his saving power. Oh, tonight I want to turn back and give him thanks. I could have still been there had he passed my way. I'd still be in the dope. I'd still be in the sin. I'd be looking at 90 years old. Amen.
Blood of Jesus again.
Oh, I got a hallelujah now. Oh my, like a blind man in Laodicea, and a dog gave back his sight. He anointed my eyes with eyesight. Oh my, like a poor wretched beggar, like Bartimaeus near the wayside. He found the pot of red price, friends. I'm so glad that I've found out.
He would bring me out, holy day.
seven steps back to God. They took the seven voices. They liked the seven virtues. He showed his way in the evening light when the Son of Man had been revealed. Glory be to God. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Thanks, thanks. I give you thanks. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the strength to give, to simply carry on. To those calls and tests and the worst and best, I've never left alone. You're always right beside me to hear me when I pray. Since I first began, you've been my dearest friend. I give you all the praise. Do you feel he's your dearest friend tonight? Since the first began, he's with you along the way. You had scores and tests. You've been tried. You've been tested. Amen. But he brought you on tonight. You're in his house. And you have joy and gladness. And your heart is full. He put food on your table. He gave you clothes and your back, friends. Glory be to God. Give you health and strength. He give you a revelation that holds you to the cross. Keep your life too steady. You ain't drifting like a ship without its sails. You have your compass and your north star, and you're heading to glory by the grace of God. You have an anchor that holds in the time of the storms. Glory be to God in the highest. Oh, you're a lot of give God thanks for my friend. The devil is frustrated. He tried to get you back in the world. He tried to discourage you. He put friends against you. He make you misunderstood in church. He get your neighbors against you. He get your boss to come down and victimize you in the job. But Jesus pick you up every time. Jesus keeps you going on every time. Hallelujah! He'll let you know you are his own. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for the strength. You are the El Shaddai tonight. You are the blessed one tonight. Let's sing them tonight. Thanks, let's have the chorus. Thanks, thanks, I give you thanks. Oh, sing the chorus. Thanks, thanks. Thanks,
I give you thanks for.
That song's so good. Thanks, thanks. Let it ring out tonight. Let's go into the halls of glory. Let's go before the Lamb. Let's fill the celestial portals tonight. Just simply carry on, carry on through the scores and tests and the worst and best. Never let alone. You're always right beside me. Oh, to hear me when I pray, when I pray. Since I first began, you've been my dearest friend. I give you all the praise. Oh, give it tonight, surrender. Don't hold back tonight. Give it tonight, full and pressing and running over, just like he gives you. Oh. Give you thanks this moment. Hallelujah! And I will continually, continually, for it's the island. Your grace you give, I'm blessed abundantly. And I won't forget that moment when in my life you made such a change. Since the Spirit came, I've not been the same. I want to give you praise. Give you praise. Thanks. Oh my. Thanks. Give you thanks for all you've done. And I am so all down to these years, Father. My soul has for rest. Oh Lord. I give. One more time. Thanks, thanks.
thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, precious Savior. Thank you, dearest Lord. We thank you tonight. From the depths of our hearts, we think of all your goodness, your tender mercies, your loving kindness that is better than life. Our lips that praise you tonight, and our soul that bless you. We lift our hands in thy holy and precious name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are so blessed tonight. Our soul has found rest. You lift the burden of sin. You didn't disappoint us when you said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest of your souls. Our soul has found that rest. That real Sabbath, Lord. We've gone past the 24-hour day. We have an eternal rest, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost that lives inside us. Thanks for the unspeakable gifts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let us sing a little chorus before we pray. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me that great salvation. So full and so full. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's only one Savior, and that's Him tonight. Our Lord Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You, Lord. A gospel that makes whole. A word that restores fully. Yeho. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me so freely. You paid the price in full. I didn't have to pay a single thing. That great salvation so full and free. How many would lift their hands and sing it one more time? You have the joys of salvation. You heard that voice that there said, go, thy sins which are many are forgiven thee. That faith has saved thee. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me that night in Santa Cruz. Forgiving. You let my eyes open to see what you've done for me that day at Calvary, Father. That great salvation. That blood has not lost its power until the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. One more time. Thank you, Lord. Our tongues are insufficient to praise Him. If we had a million tongues, we couldn't fully praise Him, friends. If we had a million lives, we give them all to Him, and that still would be insufficient. We only have one, and we can give that sincerely tonight. We can rededicate it tonight. We can ask God to cleanse it and anoint us, that we can live with such faith and power. We can walk such holy, unblameable lives by His grace. Thank you, Lord. That's what He gave, not part salvation. The full, complete gospel for the whole man. That great salvation so full. He paid the debt.
He paid the debt. He paid it all. Oh, I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Oh, but tonight is different. Now I could sing a brand new song. I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt. He canceled it. He said to man, come to me. If he settled yours and you didn't have to pay a single thing, he paid it all in full. And you worship him tonight for it. You remember it tonight, where he took you from. He said, I dig Abraham from that pit. I took David from that sheepcote. I took Peter from falling his nets. I took Paul from trying to destroy the church. I took the prophet from being a runaway fugitive from God. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. And the bow heart and quiver of Robert Blake can come and pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Great, mighty God, in whose presence we are tonight, expressing our hearts and thanksgiving back to Him. This lovely Lord Jesus, who we want to walk close to, so close.
Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name, Father. Oh God, how we thank you for this time, Lord Jesus. Lord, you know the trials and the testing, Lord. Many times the devil will have our minds so muddled up and mixed up, Father. But Lord, you come down and set aside this time, Lord, where we could honor you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the things that you have done, Lord. Where you could come and give us eyesight to see what it took you and it cost you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Truly, Father, we are thankful for all that you've done, Lord Jesus. Lord, and from the depths of our hearts, Lord Jesus, we give you praise and honor and glory, Lord. When you see the love that you've loved us with, Lord Father, truly, Lord, we are grateful, Father. Oh, Lord, we are truly a special people, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, how you've come and opened up our understanding, Lord, where we see, Lord, how you could take a man, Lord, and take away his life, Father, and give him yours, yes. Lord. Put him in chains, Lord, and bonds to your word, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Because that is how you consider us, Lord Jesus. We are special, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, a man, Lord, who could speak such sweet words, Lord.
Jesus.
Father, that is our grace. That is your grace to us, Lord. That is your love towards us, Father. Oh, God, may as we go, Lord, may we ponder these things in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, thank you, Father, for your love and for your grace and for your tender mercies, Lord. Oh, God, how you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, Lord.
Jesus.
And, Lord, how we can look back in our lives and see how you've kept that word, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
How you've promised that you would be with us.
Jesus.
We would know that you're in us, Lord. You said that, Father. And we see how you've kept your word, Lord. We can look back in our lives and see every word that you have said, Lord. It did not return unto your void, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We see the very word being manifested in our lives, Lord. And we can look back and we know what it took and what it cost you, Lord,
Jesus,
to see this word manifested in us, Lord. Oh, God, you didn't die in vain, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, as we go, May we ponder on these things. Yes, Lord. Even our quiet times, Lord. May we remember you, Lord. Thank you for your love and grace, God. Blessed be your wonderful name, Lord. Oh, God, as we come back Sunday, Lord. Lord, may we come back, Lord, with this time and our hearts, Lord, to praise you and to give you thanks, Father. Even remembering the saints out in the regions, Lord. Oh, God, may we hold them in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Those precious saints in St. Lucia too, Father.
Yes, Jesus.
Blessed be your wonderful name, Lord. God, may you reveal yourself in them, Lord, as you reveal yourself in us, Father. Thank you for your grace and for your love and for your mercy once again, God. We look forward to a wonderful time on the 11th, Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Turn and greet your brother and sister with well sweetness, love, and consideration. Oh my, God is so good for us. Yeah, it has passed so swiftly. So much have happened. God has saved souls out in the region. Storm of devastating the people, yet we see the great faith coming out. Went out there trying to labor, sacrificing, get among different churches and begin to understand in what grace and what measure of grace God dealt with us. In a few years, you see a real church raised up in the midst of chaos and death. Then see these coming out now. It's so much, friends. We truly need times we can pause and review how we come and go it over. As if, Father, you did that. Like in the book of Esther, the king said, bring me the chronicles. Let me see, I've been so busy. So many things happened in the kingdom that passed me. Let me try to catch up with the events. And he begin to look. He says, Mordecai did this. Did we do anything to honor him for what he did? He saved the king's life. He caused a great trouble that about to arise in the kingdom to be suppressed quickly. He defused that big bomb that was about to explode. We look back and we see what thing God did. Did we thank him? Did we lift up Jesus? Did we go back to him for it? When we were in a desperate situation, we even forgot we prayed for that. And that was answered the prayer. And we think it was just happening. And then we're like, oh my, I prayed for that. And God answered. And we never said, Jesus, I forgot and you remembered. And just when I needed it, you got to watch how you did it. Oh God, it's sure your thought was in me from that very moment it never left. And you knew just when to come right in and intercept things, Lord. God, you're really watching me as power could fall to the ground. But not one hair of our head can be heard. At that, you would know about it. My, sure appreciate him. Not just God, thank God for him. I thank God for you. I thank God for you, a people that could believe. People that would stand. People that would rally around the world. People that put their shoulder to the wheel. People that make things happen in this island, in this region. People that rise up with great faith and perseverance. People that drop things in so many times to give attendance to the word of God. May God, if I see these things, how much more he sees, even beyond what I don't see. And that's a great thing, friends, when we know we have a Heavenly Father who sees these things. We don't want to get all scholastic in church and all, you know, so tight and sticking everybody and scrutinizing everybody. We're going to get to a place where we are free, where there's real unity, there's love and consideration. And this is the time to put on agape. Put it on. Let that headstone come down a little closer. Let the real Joseph, Revelation 10:1, come down among the brethren and says, I am Joseph. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. And begin to reveal to us the calling, the place we come into, friends. What a great thing it is. May he give you your heart's desire tonight. Turn the service back for our brother and the ushers will dismiss you out. Let's just sing, Mercy Rewrote My Life. I should have fallen, but he could fly as fast as I could fall. My soul condemned, but he justified me and released me from all unbelieving condemnation. Mercy. He wrote pattern in my book. Toyed up and put in the sea of his forgetfulness.
And I stand today where I could believe there's nothing to condemn me. How great. Isn't he wonderful tonight? Then as I love you, so we should love one another. Let's just sing of mercy. I feel we all are grateful tonight at what he has done for us. Mercy rewrote my life.
Breathe.